Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Go.
Yo.
lie. It's Rick Ross. It's the LA Reflow right here. Now you're whining. Hold up. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I buy flow, so I supply bricks. Motherfuckers looking at me sideways, but can they tell that I'm getting money? Five ways, lot of leather wood and it's deep vibrate. Chatting with a bitch like your boy, yo, my space. But she right here in my face. Take her to a fly place with a fly fireplace. No marshmallows, we let the troll burn. I done seen the world, girl, it's your turn. I told you lies all my life, but you pulled me down, wrong or right. So it's only right she get that Porsche truck. All black rims, call a Porsche. Let your weed blow in the wind, cause believe every D-boy need a friend.
When can we get away and enjoy it,
every hoe. So when I like a bitch, I enlist Mario. Feed Hilarios, ever glow with Gloria Estefan and Emilio. Baby Billy though, this your best bet. It'll be 6 O's in my next check. With a gun in hand, I always been a money man. Crack running man, fat Randall Cunningham. Look kid, I'ma tell you like this. We need time just to kick it like this. She licking my lips, she digging my kicks. So we did it like this, it's Rick Ross. I'm the man of the hour. She love to make love and we can in the shower. Back against the wall, I'ma stand like a tower. Every time I'ma stand like a tower. Sometimes I rhyme quick, sometimes I buy blow, so I supply bricks. You can't look me in the face, girl. When you're wrong, I'ma put you in your place, girl. My money long, I got money just to waste, girl. My money home and it's up to my waist, girl. I really love how you shake, girl. You're like a phantom, I love how you shake, girl. Rick Ross, I'm a real nigga. You can feel the realness when I deal with you. Baby, I won't lie to you. I'm too honest, I promise I won't lie to you. That other bitch finish with. You the one I'm having dinner with. And it's candlelit. Can you handle it? Cause I can handle it. Well, let's handle this.
Like back in the old days, you know, years ago they had the A&R man to tell you what to play, how to play it, you know, whether it's disco or rock. But we just went in the studio and we did it. We had champagne in the studio, of course, you know, compliments of the company, and we just laid back and did it. So we hope you enjoy listening to this album half as much as we enjoy playing it for you, because we had a ball. Only real music's gonna last. All that other bullshit is here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah. After hours of Il Molino. A social, just talking women and vino. The contract like 91 Dan Marino. I swear this guy Michael Rapino's boosting my ego. Overly focused, it's far from the time to rest now. Debates growing about who they think is the best now. Took a while, got the jokers out of the deck now. I'm holding all the cards and niggas wanna play chess now. I hear you talking, say it twice so I know you meant it. Fuck it, I don't even tend it, nation knows in it. I'm authentic, real name, no gimmicks, no game, no scrimmage. I ain't playing with you niggas at all. My classmates, they went on to be chartered accountants or work with their parents. But thinking back on how they treated me, my high school reunion might be worth an appearance. Make everybody have to go through security clearance. Tables turn, bridges burn, you live and learn. With the ink, I could murder word of my nigga Irv. Yeah, I swear shit just started clicking, dog. You know it's real when you are who you think you are.
Everything around me.
I had Benzes, but you had braces. The all black Maybach, but I'm not a racist. Inside's white in the Katy Perry's faces. Yellow diamonds in my Jesus. I just might learn to speak Mandarin. Japanese for the yen that I'm handling. International ho, that's my handle. My Saint Chong gone, light a candle. El Gran Santo on the mantle. Case y'all didn't know, I speak Spanish too. Shout out the World Wide West. Everywhere we go, we leave a worldwide mess. Yes, still rock La Familia. Says a lot about you if you're not feeling us. The homie said, hove, it ain't many of us. I told him, less is more, niggas, plenty of us.
Cash through everything around me. Free. Get the money, dollar bill, y'all.
Cake, 500 million, I got a pound cake. Niggas is frontin', that's upside down cake. Get them a red nose, they clown cake. I should've never let you round cake. Look at my neck, I got a carrot cake. Now here's the icing on the cake. I'm just getting started, oh yeah, we got it, bitch. I done made more millionaires than Lotto did. Dame made millions, Big made millions. Ye made millions, Just made millions. Lior made millions, Cam made millions. Beans will tell you if he wasn't in the ceiling. I'm back in my bag. My eyes bloodshot, but my jet don't lag. A pair of Jordan 3 is trying to chase this cab. Gucci airbag just in case we crash. Last night was mad trill. I'm fresh out of Advil, Jesus rather will.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Greetings, what's going on, High Frequency Radio? This is your host, Brother Sharif, and this is the Debt Show. Hold up. I'm a little bit crunk today. I want to get a little bit more music going on so I can get crunked up. I got some news to share with y'all today. Today is a good day. Let's see. What
good
is.
God Almighty. Like back in the old days.
Y'all get your new stuff going on. Y'all get dancing. Some of y'all got some testimony today y'all going to share. Some of y'all have a lot of reason to give all praise and honor to the Creator for bringing us all together on this show, on this network.
So we hope you enjoy listening to this album.
To be able to turn the tables on this debt society. And I'm quite happy. It's been a very interesting and busy week.
It's here today and gone tomorrow.
And all that other BS is here today, gone tomorrow. So we're going to get in. Some of y'all just came in. So I want y'all to get warmed up, get your drink, get your little two-step on. We're going to get into the show.
Like 91 Dan Marino. I swear this guy Michael Rapino's boosting my ego. Overly focused, it's far from the time to rest now. Debates growing about who they think is the best now. Took a while, got the jokers out of the deck now. I'm holding all the cards and niggas wanna play chess now. I hear you talking, say it twice so I know you meant it. Fuck it, I don't even tend it, nation knows in it. I'm authentic, real name, no gimmick.
listen, everything happens for a reason. Seeds born, elders die, all things in season. These days, I'm just trying to get in where I squeeze in. Scratch that, I bust the game open till it's bleeding. That's that, D-Don Kimasi, Mau Mau Posse, guerrilla warfare, no man will ever stop me. Cause I run with tall black skin, that Anunnaki, with 4 pounds of silver-plated chrome in their pockets. But most days, I am non-violent, just don't cut my whiz and I remain silent. And when I speak, my truth weighs a ton. The scales tip as bricks of gold fall off my tongue. Your bars become stiff and cold as you succumb to the spit I hold between my molars for fun. Yeah, yeah, in all fairness, I get it from my daddy. In milk here, baby, raised up on the avid. Offspring of ghetto life, crumbling brick and tragedy. They say that we have it good, I say that they imagining. I came from Wardick, but soldiers stayed in war state. Anger see through jagged teeth cause they couldn't get a warm plate. I made it out with a number two in the clean slate. Dirty conscience haunts me when I shouldn't even be awake. Cause I was born in the 80s just like my friends was. But now I'm getting texts about this from an overdose. And not that he was my closest friend, but I hold him close. He lived across the street in apartment B where they sold the dope. And yes, I'm going on a tangent. My mind is running rampant and writing is the only way I handle it. The booth is like my cell therapy, ass goody. My words like food for the soul, let go of the past with him. And past cathartic, this is life saving for me. 14 years old, sliced and arms, but life gave up on me. But I had taken rest in De La Soul and brand new to say that hip-hop show me God is nothing short of purest truth. Sure, I do this to prove a point to my critics. Lyrics like fired bullets, they seeking targets to finish. My limits have been crossed. Now I've made it my business to personally master these rappers and pack shit with a ribbon. Presented to children who don't know how to tell the difference between a lie and authentic or being alive and just living. I'm here to tell you my vision with IMAX precision. My storyline is still building, the climax impending. But I am the protagonist, but I come out winning. The top of the long way from my start and humble beginners. Finna get it like
let's get ready to rumble.
Alright, we back. Welcome to High Frequency Radio. Your host, Brother Sharif, calling number 424-222-5250. 424-222-5250. Press 1 early. If you have a question, comment, or concern, press star 1, and your call will be placed in the queue. And if you have any questions, comments, or concern, you'll alert me as to that fact. We got an interesting show here today, as always. It is always a great show when we're able to come together as a people in this forum and share information, ideas, ideologies, and things of that nature, all pertaining to the issue of debt. This is not a religious show. As I always tell you, I deal with debt and issues of debt only. No puritanical questions or things of that nature are allowed on this show. There are 5 other days in the week where my co-host does an excellent job at having those type conversations, and I'm even a student on those shows. Of course, Brother Sharif, as always, I bring this show in the spirit of love, truth, peace, freedom, and the pursuit of justice. Although justice seems afar, we come together on this show to make it possible. On this show, we appeal to all race, color, creed, size, beliefs, thought processes, and things of that nature. So you know if you come on the show, you're not going to be embarrassed for asking a question, no matter what your thought process is. The email address for High Frequency Radio Network is highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. Highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. There you will be able to email and be placed on a contact list to be apprised of any shows, any information, seminars, webinars, events, products, services, things of that nature. That is the home email for the network. That email will not necessarily put you in contact with the host of this show, Brother Sharif. And to be placed on my private email list, I actually have a new email address. Due to the abundance of emails I received, I got a call from Yahoo saying, Brother Sharif, you got to get off our network. You're taking up too much space. So I almost got booted out, and that's okay. We got a new email address. I'm going to say it to you and read it to you for those of you to write it down, okay? That email address is as follows. Staff, STAFF, that's STAFF, at consumer, CONSUMER, dash lawgroup.com. That's consumer, staff at consumer-lawgroup.com. Please don't call in later on the show and ask me that, okay? If you didn't hear it, I will put it in the chat. It's at the beginning of the show. Let's not call in and waste a whole question about what's your email address, all right? So that's the email address, staff, consumer-lawgroup.info. Send all your emails there. If you want to be placed on our contact list, you can do so there. You will be informed of any webinars, seminars, information, although I haven't sent out much yet. I am preparing for that. I am just one individual, and I'm trying to do the best that I can. All right, we got an interesting show lined up for you. We're going to go over some foreclosure and debt news in the mainstream media that some of you may not know. And also, I have on the show today a variety of people that will be joining us, some of which are some students. Yes, the students will speak. Brother Sharif has students that are out there, people in groups that are going to share with you some of their successes, some of their failures, some of their concerns, some of their strategies. And I may even, because I have so much confidence in the ability of these people, I may let some of the students take some of the calls today. All right? As you know, this call is a you call. It is not a me call. I'm not a professor. I'm not an expert. I am not a guru. I am a master student and teacher on my experiences, on my knowledge, on my wisdom, and on my beliefs. I want to inform y'all of something. On this call, we have a very diverse community. That community does contain members from the Legal Society. And I will talk to you about some of my conversations this week with some members of the Legal Society that sees the value in this movement towards turning the table on debt collectors. As you guys know, our Legal Society don't give a damn about what color you are. They only give a damn about money. And if they see they can put their hands in the pockets of some of these wealthy corporations, then trust me, they're going to do so. And some of them are on this call today. And for those of you who don't know, I am not an attorney. I don't practice anything, especially law. I demonstrate law. I share with you my ideas. I don't give anything called legal advice. I really don't know what that is. If someone can find that in a dictionary and define it for me, that would be great. Okay, but on this show, we may have some individuals in the Legal Society, okay? And I promise you a few of them are on the call, all right? Not to say we're this or we're that, but we do provide a forum to share ideas and strategies. And as you know, in this debt arena, it is all about strategy. Yes, the law is important, okay? But if you apply strategy to the law, that will increase your amount of damages. That will increase your bargaining ability, settlement ability, mitigation ability. All right? It's all about strategy. So today I have a few of my students on. I'm going to introduce a few of those. They're going to come on in about 15 or 20 minutes. I'm introducing today also groups. Okay, as you guys know, Brother Sharif, love groups. Because I'm able to defer this information to a populace as opposed to one person at a time. I am a big supporter of us uniting as a group. While I'm saying that, I want to give a shout out to all my groups that are out there, and that are several who are out there who are in Starbucks, who are in their offices. There are groups out there that meet during the playing of Brother Sharif's show, and 8 to 12 of them meet to take notes, to come together, to strategize, to learn, to share ideas, and to subsequently go out there and demonstrate in their pursuit to get their damages from these debt collectors. And the money is out there, and we're going to talk about that today. There's been some big money handed out under consumer protection laws. The banks have taken some big loss this month, this week. Okay, some debt collectors are running. And let me go on and say this, and I'm going to take responsibility for this. I started a fire. And, man, I'm telling you, I got some of the smartest people out there, some of the best consumers that used to be debtors. And, man, the people are out there, people on this show are out there flaring those flames on the houses and all those offices of these debt collectors. And the alarm has been sounded. The people are awakening. And I might be charged for arson, for flaming that fire, but that's a charge that I'll take. I know Ohio Frequency Radio Network got my back. They charge me for arson. But the debt collectors are on the run. We're going to go into some news. Let's talk about what's going on out there in our mainstream media, in the world of foreclosure, debt collection, things of that nature. Whoa. All right. Let's talk about one case here. It's a foreclosure jury returns a $5 million verdict against one of the nationally recognized banking institutions known as U.S. Bank of Montana. And, man, some of the damages that this particular homeowner was able to acquire, as many of the damages you are entitled to with respects to your consumer protection laws and statutes that we discuss here on the show. So we had a Montana woman who sued U.S. Bank of Montana, all right? And what happened was she had, some years ago, around 2006, purchased a condominium for $395,000. And she got a loan from Heritage Bank, and Heritage Bank was sold to U.S. Bank of Montana. And she put some money down, a significant amount down. She did a promissory note and a deed of trust, all right? And what she thought she was signing was a 30-year residential property loan, which is what she applied for. Instead, the bank somehow gave her an 18-month loan. Okay? I didn't read the entire case. How they pull that off, I don't know, but I'm sure those of you that are out there dealing with, hopefully you're dealing with a legal foreclosure, if you want me to use that word, I would tend to believe you're dealing with a debt collection action and not a foreclosure. Those of you that has been on my show more than two times would know the difference. If you don't, refer to the archives and understand the difference. At any rate, what happened was the lady went and sued the bank, and she went to the district court, and she sued for different causes of action, most of which was regarding intentional inflicted emotional distress, which is one of the causes of action I always inform you that is probably one of the biggest punitive damage you will be able to levy upon a debt collector. And I'm just going to read to you the verdict of the jury, all right? And she sued them for fraud and deceptive practices, all of which you can bring in conjunction with 15 U.S.C. 1692, 1681, and your state consumer protection laws. All right? And this was the verdict of the jury, and I'll read it down. This is We the Jury by a vote of at least 8-4 on each question. Answers as follows. Did defendant U.S. Bank commit actual fraud? 10 said yes, 2 said no. Did the actual fraud committed by defendant U.S. Bank injure or cause damage to plaintiff Mary McCulley? 10 said yes, 2 said no. Did defendant U.S. Bank commit constructive fraud? Write that down. 11 said yes, 1 said no. Did the constructive fraud committed by defendant U.S. Bank injure or cause damage to the plaintiff, Mary McCulley? 11 said yes, 1 said no. What amount of damages, if any, do you award Mary plaintiff McCulley? Damages, they said $1 million. All right? That's just damages. Should defendant U.S. Bank pay punitive damages? Those of you out there that's been on my show more than two times knows what punitive damages is. Okay? 8 of the jurors said, yes, she deserves to obtain punitive damages against U.S. Bank, and 4 said no. All right? So they asked the jury, what was your decision as to the amount of punitive damages you award for Miss Mary McCulley? And for a vote of 8-4, the amount of punitive damages awarded to Miss McCulley was $5 million. All right? If y'all want to find that case is in the Supreme Court of the state of Montana. Mary McCulley, MCC. ULLEY was the plaintiff, all right, versus American Land Title Company and U.S. Bank of Montana. The cause number is D as in David, V as in Victor, -09-562, C as in cat. The Honorable John C. Brown was the presiding judge. You need to read that case. That case in its entirety more likely applies to most of you out there dealing with pretender lenders, costume wearers posing as lenders and creditors and mortgagees and things of that nature. All right. Other news. A judge ruled that a foreclosure was unconstitutional, and that ruling was against MERS. And it was Bradburn versus Recon Trust. Those of you in California, you would be familiar with Recon Trust. You can find this story at www.occupycorporatism.com. All right? And this was in Washington State, and it was against Bank of America. Okay? The judge didn't say the foreclosure was wrongful. Well, he did say that. But he said that it was also, and additionally, unconstitutional. Okay? And when you go to that website and pull up the article, you will see a big picture of three men and a woman, and they have some pretty good smiles going on there. Some pretty good smiles, all right? This was allegedly a securitized mortgage, okay? So I'm sure the owner, the true owners and creditors were undetermined and unable to be determined. And the judge said not only was it wrong and that MERS is not a creditor, okay? And as you guys know, I've already explained to you that MERS, Mortgage Electronic Registration System, is no longer alive. I think MERS died a few years ago, around about 2008 or 9. MERS Corp. Kind of took the suit off of MERS, and MERS Corp. is walking around making you think MERS is still alive. For those of you that have those instruments pertaining to your foreclosure cases, you need to look into that and know that dead people can't sign or execute or be given any power of attorney to do anything. When you're dead, you're dead. All right. I told you last week about Clark versus Absolute Collection Service Incorporated. That was a individual, a consumer. You guys know what consumer is if you've been on my show more than two times. Sued a collection company and said that she disputed the debt orally and that they failed to comply by the provision set forth in 15 U.S.C. 1692. And their letter supported or provided evidence or proffered evidence to the court. Their Dunning notice stated they had to dispute the debt in writing. I went into that a little bit last week and told you that you do not have to dispute any debt in writing, specifically because most of the contact that you will receive from a debt collector is mostly by phone. They will call you by phone first before they ever send you a letter. They will rarely send you a Dunning letter. They will try to call you, and if they can't get in touch with you by phone, they will then go ahead and put the collection into your credit report, which is a violation. Okay, they must give you an opportunity before they go corrupting your credit file. All right, let's see what other news we have out there. We spoke about last week the rash of bank executives committing suicide by shooting themselves in the head four times. Just kidding. But some suspicious deaths going on. Some big-time executives that were over some big money that was making some risky investments, participating in the LIBOR scandal, manipulating the markets, working in cohorts with some drug societies, with some cartels, with some countries that were under restriction. I mean, you name it. The bankers do it. I think the banking association should do a new Jack City movie and feature themselves in it because, man, they're ruthless out there. Let's see what else is worth mentioning to the listeners here. I think that is about all that is new. Oh, they got a new music video by Eminem, Ice Cube, Korn, and Anonymous. Okay? And that music video is supposed to encourage the people to stand up and stop all this fraud, NSA, corruption, political corruption, corporate corruption. I have not listened to the entire video, but I guess you can Google it and find it. Some pretty good music. All of these entertainers are name brand entertainers, and I want to give props to them and honors to them for even coming together collectively to put the issue of corruption in the form of music, which will reach a lot of different people. And the name of it is Be the Change. Your time has come. And pretty interesting. So go ahead and listen to that video. I will listen to it next week. We might make some comments about it and see what it's talking about. But it's supposed to be about blowing the whistle. A lot of whistleblowers out there. A lot of secrets getting out in the public. A lot of secrets winding up in the hood. I mean, you name it, from mayors to governors to corporate executives. Man, if you do anything out there, you're going to have some honest people that's going to raise up eventually suffering from a conscience that we all should have to not enslave one another. Okay, these bankers have a lot to worry about because until they get those robots working in those companies, you're always going to have the human element and the human conscience, and the people are going to always rise above the level of corruption and say no more. And that is indeed what is happening in this country today. I am seeing it. I'm happy about it. I'm happy I'm a part of it. I'm happy I'm one of the arsonists in that front against the debt collectors. And I thank God I'm seeing a turnaround in what was already reality, but is now becoming the reality of many. All right, I got a couple of students on here that I've invited on the show today. What I'm going to do is begin to connect people with groups. I have three different religious groups next week from across party and racial lines that will be coming on the show and introducing their groups that they form together. And they're not forming these groups for religious purposes. These groups are being formed for the people to come together collectively to deal with this issue of debt enslavement. These groups that have contacted me has been a great uplifting to my spirit, because they see the need to come together as a people as opposed to a part and parcel of this society. They see the need that that we need to come together and go into these systems, into these courts, go at these debt collectors with the crayon box mentality, meaning black, white, green, brown, purple. And they're going to be coming on this show to introduce themselves, because they too were uplifted when I put the call out or put the comfort out. All nationalities are welcome on my show. All nationalities are welcome on this network. This network may be predominantly, and you know I use the term safely, black, so to speak, but we have a great deal of white, brown, and other that listen to this show, that participate in this show, that were somewhat restrained or felt a little bit uncomfortable appearing on the show, interfacing, interacting, and having intercourse with people from other nationalities. That exists no more. So I'm going to have those groups come on next week. Three very huge groups, two of them out in the West Coast, one of them on the East Coast, and they're going to put their offers out there to connect people, because I'm going to be honest with the listeners. I can't do it all. Sometimes I'm frustrated because I can't get to all of your emails, although I do wind up getting to all of them. But the spirit that the universe has put upon me is to help the people, the body politic, the people as a whole. Can't do it one at a time, which is why I'm trying to create other Brother Sharifs. I'm trying to bless groups, okay, abundantly, so that information then gets disseminated out to the communities, to the religious societies. And these groups that I'm going to introduce you to are some of the that I've ever spoken to, some of the most honorable people that I've ever dealt with. There is help out there. And as you know, on this show, I am a firm believer in self-empowerment. Gone are the days where you can depend on anyone but yourself. People will disappoint you. People will let you down. Corporations will commit fraud against you. Politicians will lie to you. Banks will take every dime you have and not be entitled to it in some regards, in some respects. And those in the legal society that is on my show, no disrespect to you, but the legal society will normally be complicit in doing these things, not because they want to, but because you won't empower yourself with the knowledge. You won't take it in your own hands. You won't take your place amongst the affairs of men and women. This is your issue. This is why I fall away from people that become so dependent on even Brother Sharif, because I'm just a man. I don't have any secrets. I share with you where the knowledge comes from. I direct you to where the knowledge is. I tell you the books that you need to acquire and attain to be able to help yourself. I don't want dependence. I don't want a valley. I don't want an island. I want you to empower yourself and get this knowledge and get this wisdom and take it and spread it amongst your family, your community, your religious society, and any of the above. So when you contact me by email and you notice you don't get a response, it's because you are being too dependent, okay? There's going to be many of us out there that are check writers, meaning we don't want to do anything but what we're doing. We just want to pay somebody. And it's going to be a lot of business out there for the legal society, for the corporations, okay? Because many of us is lazy. Myself and my co-hosts always talk about that, okay? Because we will explain something A to Z, tell you where to find it, tell you how to do it, share with you some of our strategies, some of our experiences, and paint a full picture with a frame already hung on the wall. And some of you will still call and have 10 questions. For you should be writing checks until you decide to empower yourself. For all you mothers out there and you women out there that are single, okay, and the men are not being men, and they're not acquiring the knowledge to release some of these economic restraints such as debt, what's wrong with you acquiring that knowledge and bringing that resource to your household? Okay? We have to come together. This is not an individual issue. It is a society issue or a societal issue, but we have to begin to take these matters into our own hand and learn them and learn how to have intercourse in this commercial world. And that's what's being displayed here. Let me go on and open up my line and bring in my students here, a couple of my students. I want them to share with you their story. They're going to share with you their group. Okay? They're going to provide an email address where if you wanted to join their group, okay, and this is not a religious group. This is not the Crips or the Bloods. It's not a gang. It's not a patriot unit. It's not a bunch of rebels. It's not a bunch of protesters. They're not marching. They're marching down to the courthouse with complaints. They're serving documents upon these debt collectors and making demands for checks. Speaking of checks, I mean, it was some serious loot made this week. I mean, some people, I helped two people secure a check without going to court, just by two email communications. I received calls from two attorneys who employ some of the strategies that we share on the show. What was those strategies? We understand that some of you are in foreclosure, or the ones that think you are in foreclosure, we understand that there is a challenge with respects to your economic energy, meaning you don't have a lot of money. And we understand that the economy is bad if that's what you depend on, and you didn't exercise due diligence in your finances for whatever reason, or you was a victim of the economic collapse of this country. So the legal society can't work for free. And I understand that. I really do. So you're either going to do one or two things. You're either going to find a way to become more economically secure or stable, or You're going to learn yourself how to handle your own debt issues. All right? The reason why I bring to you your consumer protection law, specifically 15 U.S.C. 1692, 1681, your state consumer protection laws, and your tort claims is because under those provisions set forth in the federal consumer protection laws, your attorney, okay, can obtain, if he's the successful party, his attorney's fees from the defendant. I'll say it again. What does that mean to you? There is a chance that if that attorney sees merit in your case, and if you're taking the information that you're learning on this show and you're able to sometimes educate him, okay? Not all attorneys specialize in consumer debt. Not all of them know the things that we share on this show. I'm not saying that they're less intelligent. In the legal society, you have to be knowledgeable on many levels, civil, criminal, contract law, real estate law. There's different divisions. So you may not focus on one specific area like we do here. So you can take some of the knowledge that you have and be able to go sit down, which is what many of the students and many of the people that listen to this show email me, tell me they have done. And they were able to go sit down with an attorney and convince them, based on their knowledge, that, look, I don't have much money. Okay? And I have a pretender lender out there that's masquerading as a creditor and mortgagee trying to conduct an illegal foreclosure. Now, I can't give you much money for the foreclosure, but this is where I think you can get a pound of money. If you would go and file a complaint in the U.S. District Court under the statutes, under 15 U.S.C. 1692 and 1681, the FDCPA and the FCRA, sir, you would be able to get your hourly rate plus costs and expenses of litigation, because this is what I know. I know they have violated several provisions set forth in the federal consumer protection laws. So, why don't you do this for me, Mr. Attorney? Why don't you go ahead and handle and provide some affirmative defense for the foreclosure? You may not get much money there, but once you file that lawsuit on the other side and run them parallel, you can get all the attorney fees you need on the other side. And I had to place two calls this week and explain that to some of the listeners who had attorneys that was like, wow, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that'll work. Okay, did I discover something new? No. Is it a strategy? Yes. Did it make sense? Yes. Did a homeowner that didn't have money but was able to demonstrate to that attorney that she had actual damages, even punitive damages, out of the same case she couldn't afford to defend, would that make sense to counsel and to an attorney to take that case? Absolutely. And that's exactly what they did. Thinking outside of the box, having something yourself that you can offer when you need help, being able to sit down with an attorney if you need one, and many times you will, sitting down and strategizing with him how you can get what you need and how he can get what he needs or she needs. That's what it's all about. Let me open up the lines, 917-4210. Sister Sharon, are you there?
Oh, peace, family. Yes, I am. Peace, Brother Sharif.
Peace, peace, peace. All right. Glad to have you. Let me open up another line here. 516-5545. Brother Pastor Maynard, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Great, great, great. On the phone, family, is two very special and great individuals that I've built relationships with since I've started this show. There is always going to be out of every class some students that rise to the level of special treatment, okay? And there are going to be students that come out of every class that will become teachers themselves. Since I've been doing this show, these two individuals has fit that profile. They have been at every webinar that I've done. I don't think they've ever missed one show since I've been on the air. And because of them, not me, their serious pursuit of this knowledge, and because they too were victims, and maybe at this current time are victims of the debt restraints that appears on all of our ankles, they decided to not just empower themselves, but they are in or part of groups that help empower each other. Our brother Maynard is a pastor, to my knowledge, but I've talked to him several times. We've communicated over the last few months. He's not one of those that, you know, before he says a sentence, he's speaking about his religion or his faith. He's a businessman, and he talks about business, and he's taken seriously this issue that's in our society regarding debt. It plagues his parishioners, his followers, his people, his family, himself, and he's taken a stance to learn everything he can learn, and he's learned a lot. And he's heard it all. He's been on the patriotic side of it. He's listened to the gurus. He's done it all. But he's settled on the fact that since he's come into this realm, provided on this show, a lot of light bulbs has went off. And some of the bulbs were already in him, just needed a little bit of screwing in. And he's now taking that information to his group, and his group is doing wonders. Our brother Maynard is in the New York area. Our sister Sharon is in the New York area. And I'm going to explain to you about our sister Sharon. Our sister Sharon has been out there a long time. She's been to all of the indigenous group meetings, okay? She's been to a lot of those functions. She supported a lot of the people in this nation, okay? But she, too, was quite frustrated with all the allegory, with all the what-ifs, with all the processes, the procedures, the fly paperwork. And she decided to get to change, all right, change directions. And she came upon my show, and this show was able to change her direction. And the type of success that she's having now, her mentality now, her energy now, from the time I met her when I first started to the show, and now is of nothing I've seen before. A complete transformation in mentality. Strong, melanated woman, island woman, that's going to share with you her change and how that change came about. And these two individuals on this call are going to be some of the people you will hear on this show. In fact, in a couple of months after they do some more in-depth training with me, they're going to be handling this show, because Brother Sharif is not guaranteed to be here all of the time. So we have to create leaders. We have to create replacements. We have to stop thinking we own this knowledge and that we can sell every bit of this knowledge, like our politicians sell every bit of this country that they don't own. We have to stop doing that. We have to stop taking knowledge to the grave. We have to start empowering each other. And I just want these two individuals to, first of all, tell you a little bit about themselves, tell them about their experiences. Sister Sharon will tell you about her foreclosure case that she has and how the debt collectors are on complete defense, since she's employed a lot of the knowledge along with my assistants, and they are totally on the run. And she will share with you, and she hasn't shared that with me, how she has applied the different techniques and how successful that has been. And then the brother Maynard will do the same. So Sister Sharon, go ahead and introduce yourself. And, you know, the line is open to you. Go ahead and share with the women, first of all, because this is a sister. She's a strong sister. Go ahead and share with them a little bit about yourself and tell us what has transpired in the past several months.
Peace and love once again, family. I'm laughing ear to ear because I don't know if I can step in those shoes. Hopefully they can fit me. But I just want to tell everybody I'm very glad that Brother Sharif, you know, came out with this knowledge. I was, you know, studying from another vantage point, and when Brother Sharif presented this strategy of going after them as debt collectors, that really opened the gate. But I had some of this knowledge, but definitely the strategy is what's working. And I was fighting two hawks at the same time. And once I started using his methodology, his strategy of going after them as debt collectors, I'm telling you, I was able to relax. And if you know what relaxing means, I was really able to relax and going on this on a different vantage point. You know, I want to just tell the family that this takes a lot of time. You're going to have to stop watching some of that TV stuff, and you're going to be up late night studying.
That's right.
But it's really worth it. It's really worth it. I remember getting some documents from Brother Sharif, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to read this, and got to get this out today. And I was like, okay, I started calculating. This is closed. I left here. I went to the city. I'm like, okay, I know the city's post office is open. I get down there, and I'm on the train, and I'm reading, and I'm doing this stuff. Get off the train, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I see something that I need to get changed. But you know what? Once you're with the Creator and the Creator is leading you on, you're going to get it done. You just have to believe that you're going to get it done. And believe me, as Brother Sharif said, I have these for running because now, I mean, every week I have something in my mailbox coming at me. Somebody's saying, oh, this, that, and they're threatening me, and they're da-da-da. And now, God bless what I've gotten for the last 3 to 4 weeks. I have not seen a letter from any of these attorneys since we put in our motion to dismiss. So I'm just going to give Brother Sharif the praise, and I know I'm learning. But I'm learning from a master. Once I get that under my belt, I'll be able to teach anybody else who wants to come up on this floor and take this knowledge under their belt. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to give the floor to Brother Maynard and let him, you know, say what he needs to say, and then we'll come back.
And let me add a couple of things for Brother Maynard coming, because I know Sister Sharon is, she's a little bit shy. You know, and she shares that same, quality with me. You know, I'm not really a radio guy. I try to do the best that I could. Sister Sharon is very meticulous. I mean, when Sister Sharon shared with me, if you guys would go back several shows, I read to you a complaint, a foreclosure complaint, and completely dissected it and picked it apart, okay? That was Sister Sharon's complaint. When I went over Sister Sharon's complaint with her and picked everything apart, you can feel the elevation. You can feel the burden lifted off of her because she now understood that nothing they said made sense. We pulled out our dictionary. We pulled out the law. We pulled out our contract. We pulled out the communications. And Sharon was able to see me go through each and every last sentence and totally, totally obliterate it. Not with a whole bunch of legal knowledge, just with common sense, because just reading, okay? So once we was able to formulate and gather all the documents, and I was able to take Sharon throughout each and every document, throughout each and every procedure, Sister Sharon's spirit or at least the heavy spirit that she had on her, the confusing spirit, okay, was totally, totally released. I mean, I felt it. And Sister Sharon began to read, and she began to, Brother Sharif, did you see that? Did you see this? Did you, oh my goodness, did you see that? And, you know, and they were, I mean, you know, the legal society, and again, if you're in school, I believe, and you don't know how to fight, and somebody keeps taking your lunch money, and your mother or your father or your brother or your older sister doesn't teach you how to defend your lunch money, and you don't take it upon yourselves to stop wanting to get beat up, then, you know, I mean, I just think, you know, you should have your lunch money taken until you do something about it. Either bring your parents to school, either go learn some self-defense to protect yourself, because even if you run to your parents, they're not going to always be there. So realistically, you need to start handling your own business. All right? So Sister Sharon was being bullied. I mean, Sister Sharon was under deep stress. She was just being bullied. They were hitting her with complaints and this and that, and she didn't say anything was going on. And then once she started firing back, and we didn't have to shoot a lot of bullets. In fact, we still have a whole lot of bullets left. It was what you want to tell us. She said, Brother Sharif, I just want to hit him with this. I said, no, sister, we don't empty the clip yet. You know, we just do it one at a time. We're going to have fun. We're going to do it one at a time. And, I mean, you know, there was a total disappearance of this aggression by the debt collectors once the knowledge was put out there that it's not what you say it is. And not only are we going to be successful in defending what you started, but we're going to make you pay for what you started. So Sister Sharon also attended the webinars, and she was doing some of the procedures I teach in cleaning up your credit and making money while doing so. So Sister Sharon, with this new spirit that she has, because she has knowledge and wisdom, and she did that. It has nothing to do with me. I just gave it, and I love to give it. But Sister Sharon took that momentum and that knowledge and that confidence that when you really know your stuff, you're not afraid to talk to anybody. She had disputed some debts on her credit report, okay? And commonly, you know, the debt consumer reporting agencies sometimes fight you to have that information removed because their best customer is who? The debt collectors, the banking institutions, okay? The people that report those debts. That's their clients. It's not you. You might pay for your own credit report, all right, but their best clients are those debt collectors, and in some cases, legitimate creditors. So I told her I told the people in my webinar, you will experience some of those instances where they don't want to remove certain information, and in that case, you will have to call and put the spirit on them, okay? And what I mean by the spirit is the knowledge, because when you're talking to them and you have the knowledge, they will never, ever deny you. So Sister Sharon says she had called and got a regular customer service rep who normally we know is, you know, some people that just have a script, okay? And if the customer says this, you say that, and if they do this, you do that. But when they got to Sister Sharon, Sister Sharon said, look, I don't want to talk to you, Sally Mae, okay? My knowledge is too extensive. You're going to have to escalate me to a manager, supervisor, CEO, CFO, or you can even escalate me to the president if necessary. Because when I talk to them, you're going to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. And that's how Sister Sharon said it. And I don't know if you guys know, when a woman knows what she knows, man, you can't deny them. And when an island woman knows what she knows, you really can't deny them. So Sister Sharon got up to the supervisor, and when Sister Sharon put that knowledge down, when Sister Sharon started quoting, you know, you're a debt collector on the A3 and A6, and I have to have that information removed, and you can't question me about removing information that pertains to me, and Sister Sharon put that script on them, Sister Sharon said, the lady was like, no problem, I'll have it removed today. Today. Not in 30 days. Not in 45 days. You're not going to send me through the normal process. I need it moved today, because if you do not remove it today, well, there is a provision in 15 U.S.C. 1681 that will hold you liable for damages if you do not act accordingly. And that is what Sister Sharon told them. And they removed what she wanted removed. Brother Maynard, come on in, brother, and tell us about you and your group and your experiences.
Well, first of all, thanks and praise to you, Brother Sharif, for everything that you've done for me personally and for the members of my community and my group. For myself, I've been in mortgage banking for over 25 years. And when the financial crisis happened in 2008, it didn't make any sense to me. So I went on a journey to find out what really is going on. And I followed many of the processes that you had mentioned in the previous webinars. And for most of what I've done, it was hit and miss. And initially, I've heard about the FDCPA. I wanted to go down this road, but I had no mentor and no one to show me the strategy that you have now imparted upon us. Well, for the past 2 years, I've been fighting debt collectors, but I started out, I remember the first case, I started out by pulling the judge's oath and fighting jurisdiction. It was a complete mess. We eventually won, but it took a year. Now, with the consumer notice, there was a recent case where the manager for Capital One, where I bank, came to me, and her mother was being attacked by a debt collector, and they sent her interrogatories for her to respond to. So we submitted the consumer notice, and within 48 hours, the debt collector sent us a notice that they will be withdrawing the case. And there's been numerous of those that has happened. And, well, currently now I've, past week, I drafted two lawsuits that I'm getting ready to file. One, we're going to be asking for $100,000. From a debt collector, a mortgage, alleged mortgagee, for filing a time-barred lawsuit. So that's basically it, Brother Sharif. Thanks again. You've done just a tremendous service for our community, and we're indebted to you.
Great. Peace. And I'll just add on what Brother Maynard, very articulate, and as he explained to you guys, he was in the mortgage banking industry, okay? This is one of the gentlemen that you guys probably met with to do your paperwork, okay? And he was trained to believe in his job. And, of course, any corporation would want you to be. To believe in what you're doing. Now, Brother Maynard is on the other side and realizing that, you know, that information was not what he thought, okay? And now he is using that information that he obtained on the other side, and he's combining it with the information he's obtaining from this side, and he has formed a group in New York that I know personally, although he didn't say it, is removing hundreds of thousands of dollars in illegitimate debt. Now, most of you know on this show, I am not against debt. Okay? We don't teach you here on this show to try to get out of every obligation you've ever executed in your life. That is not what we're business people. Brother Maidon is a business person. Sister Sharon is a business person. So we don't teach on this show that every debt you have is unenforceable. But when it comes to these alleged mortgages, and when it comes to specifically these junk debt buyers, you don't owe those debts to them in most cases. And I tell you over and over that in order for most of them to collect on any debt with you, they will almost guarantee violate several provisions of either your state and or federal consumer protection laws. And when they do that, you have to be prepared to leverage the amount they say you owe, if it's a legitimate debt, or to eliminate and then go on the offense and make them pay for the attempt. And that is what we teach here. So Brother Maynard has a New York Power Group. It is a very big group. Our Brother Maynard has taken this knowledge as any leader in any religious faction, religious society, national group, whatever. And he's taken that information and knowledge to uplift his people, whom he is responsible for. And for that, I cannot give an honor high enough, okay? Because as we know, there are many religious leaders out there that all they do is ask you to sow a seed, send them a dollar or two, contribute to a building fund, contribute to that, contribute to this. But they're not teaching the people how to have intercourse in the commercial world. They're not teaching the people how to get rid of debts that doesn't apply to them. They're not teaching people how to remove certain economic restraints that can be not only detrimental to our economic stability, but also to our health. If you don't think debt kills, think again. If you don't think this industry of debt kills, I just shared with you some stories about some executive bankers that are no longer with us. So I praise these individuals. I honor them. They are going to be in the next 60 days, some of the individuals that you will hear on this call. So I wanted you to be familiar with them, okay? I've taken a personal liking to them because of their courageousness. I wanted to provide with you some examples of not people that I brought with me to this show, of not people that I've known for years, but from people that has listened to this show just like you are doing now and taken action themselves to empower themselves and not only keep it to themselves. Because let me be real about it, and you know I pull no punches. We're going to always have some pookies and some brats out there that's going to take a little bit of information they get from this show, okay, put a little salt and pepper to it, and start selling it to everybody. Okay? We already know that. You're going to take the information, you're going to hover over it, you're going to put it in the headlock, okay? And you're going to do it like a lot of our public officials, a lot of our economic power people, and you're going to try to sell every piece and part of this knowledge to enrich yourselves without helping your people. Okay? And for those of you that do that, the universe will take care of you. Okay? Because we're on this show, myself and the co-host of the High Frequency Radio Network, we don't charge you a dime for these shows that we bring every single week. Same time. And we don't charge you a dime for the shows. So, enough. These kind of things just really impressed me when people show an act of unselfishness and people actually try to show their community, their friends, their loved ones, how to get out of certain situations, how to release certain restraints that are on you that shouldn't be. And for Sharon and Brother Maynard, their reward is to receive as much information from me as they can, so they can be able to come on the show when I can't or don't feel like it and be able to do just as greater job for you as I have. And I wanted to put them on also to encourage everyone else out there and the hundreds of people that email me and sound like dependence when the information I give should not create a dependent in you. You should ask questions. You should ask for the source. You should ask where you can find those answers if I can't get to it. You should go back on the show before you come on a later show and listen to the archives. There is hundreds of shows on this network in the archives that will provide you with, if not enough education for you to take some defensive or offensive action. But in many respects, if you go back and you take the time to listen to them, sometimes two or three times, I think you can get a pretty good education and go out there and make a pretty good living, as these two people will tell you, just applying the knowledge. Okay? And for all of you out there that think you can't do it, okay, I didn't bring on a college professor. I didn't bring on an attorney. I didn't bring on an engineer. Okay? I brought in like-minded people like you that started when you started listening to this show when I started it, and is at the point to where they are totally comfortable and you can hear it. They don't have that worry. Like some of the callers we're going to answer, they don't have that worry. They're not worried about it. They're okay by saying, give me a manager. Give me your president. I don't care. Give me your legal department. Brother Maynard will get on the phone with a legal department and know how to talk the talk. And at the end of that conversation, they're going to make the decision that I don't want to talk to this man or woman again, and I definitely don't want to pay him any money. So do whatever you got to do to get rid of that debt, because I don't want to hear from them again. And this is what's happening. So you guys, I thank you, okay? You will hear from these two people and two others in the future. If you want to be a part of that group and you are in that area of New York, you can email me, and I will share with you the contact information, and I'm sure they come together, probably do conference call, or they band together in whatever manner they deem necessary to be able to share that knowledge and information at the direction of Brother Maynard. And then Sister Sharon, I'm sure, will be one that will develop her group and also connect with Brother Maynard. But I really see Sister Sharon putting together her own group of women that will have this knowledge and be able to bring that knowledge home to their husbands who are probably out working hard. It's a family thing. It's a unity thing. And that's what we're trying to promote here on the show. All right, I'm going to leave Sister Sharon and Brother Maynard. I'm going to leave your lines open. We're going to try to get a few calls. I may let my students take a couple of calls while I'm here, and they have a little support on what direction they would go. And I just want to monitor the answers. All right, so we're going to go to 469-6123, 469-6123. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question? All right, let's go to 317-1342. Do you have a question?
Brother Sharif, I don't have a question. I've been dying to catch you. You hear me?
I can hear you.
Are you okay? Listen, you see my telephone number right there?
I do, sir.
Where you at? Please write that telephone number down when you get off the airways today. Please call me. I done sent you and Yusuf 100 emails. I think they blocking my phone. I'm doing things here. I need them webinars. I need to get in the chat room. I got about 30 people here that's anxious. I want to become one of those groups that you're talking about, because in Indiana, they are burning the people here. They don't know nothing here. They don't want them to know anything here, and they straight tripping. So
yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that, brother. I've gotten quite a few requests from people in Indiana to request that I come down there and do a seminar to wake the people up in this particular area, and I'm definitely going to do so. I've been getting those requests for the last year, so I will do so, and I've heard you on just about every call saying you're having a problem communicating via email, electronic mail, so I have your number right here. I promise you I will call you after the show. But look, if you're having those sort of technical difficulties, always just have somebody else email me. But I have your number here. I know who you are.
Okay.
Recognize your voice. Yeah. You're an avid listener of the network. And I will definitely make contact and communication with you, brother. Thank you for listening.
And one thing I want you to know, and the two hosts that you're grooming, that I've been in these courts. I am wrestling with these people. Sometimes I get thrown out. Sometimes I get the respect, but it's, you know, I'm stumbling. I'm like a toddler right now, and I want to be able to stand up right on that square. Okay, peace.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
All right,
right.
Thank you, man. All right. Let's go to 330-5677. 330-5677. Your high frequency radio. Do you have a question?
Hey, yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
I
don't have a house or nothing. I don't have a house or nothing like that, but
you have debt,
I want to learn it. I have debt, but I want to learn it and try to be able to do it for myself. You know, the only way you're going to stand it is to do it for yourself.
Indeed.
But
indeed.
I don't live in New York, so.
Where are you? You in Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in a great state, brother. I mean, Ohio is one of the, man. I can't say enough, and I've said this last week and probably the past 2 weeks. You're in a good state. I mean, Ohio court system has totally turned the corner and done a great job at putting an end to a lot of this nonsense, specifically in the area of foreclosures. And you're a judicial state, okay? The Ohio Revised Statutes, which is ORS, has some pretty strong consumer protection laws that you can use. And, man, I've helped plenty of people in the state of Ohio, especially with foreclosures, and it's not even difficult. Because when that pretender has to bring that action to you, okay, buying through a judicial foreclosure, man, you no way in the world anybody in Ohio should be losing their home. Not with the type of nonsense that's going on up there, and not with the type of rulings that the court has come down with against the nonsense. So you are in a very good state. I think that's another state that I have friends and people there that wants me to come down there and bring the education. And I think once that happens and the groups start to form up there, man, y'all already have a head start with your court system. It's not as bad as other places. So, brother, keep studying. You can email me. I will be doing a seminar in Ohio this year. I will get to Indiana this year. And, you know, and maybe these students that are on here will be right along with me, or maybe they will be able to come. But, yeah, we're coming to Ohio, so hold tight. You know, just study your FDCPA, study your Ohio Revised Statutes, study your FCRA. It's not much to study. It's not hard. When you start to study that, I believe you'll receive the empowerment just from the fact that you are reading what applies to your everyday intercourse with these debt collectors.
Okay, what's your email?
The email is staff, STAFF, I'm going to say it again, at consumer-lawgroup.com. Staff at consumer-lawgroup.com. The old email address, the lawmaster at yahoo44@yahoo.com, is kind of filled up. I really don't have the capacity to do much there because of the amount of emails and communications I'm getting from all over the world, in fact, the country. So, you know, we kind of had to broaden out and actually had to pay for the ability to handle the amount of emails and communication. So you can email us there, and you can always reach us here on Tuesday at 11 a.m., all right?
Okay. Is there any way I can get with a group or something to study over the phone, or?
Well, you will need an Ohio group, but you can connect with them. You know, just email me. And if you want to connect with Sister Sharon and Brother Maynard's group, like I said, I'm sure they do calls. And once you connect with them, they'll be able to tell you how they conduct their conference calls or their communications. And, you know, I'm sure you can participate that way.
All right. Staff at consumer-lawgroup.com.
That's right. All right?
Okay. All right.
All right. Peace. Thank you, brother. All right, let's go to 720-720-2161, 720-2161. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Greatness, greatness. Can you hear me?
Greatness, brother. Peace. Yes, sir. Clear.
Well, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but I kind of got a peculiar situation to where, somebody has abandoned the property, and I'm in here. I basically made a claim on the property, but there's an alleged debt associated with the real estate or the property, and I was it's scheduled for a sale or foreclosure, and I was wondering what approach would you take to try to defuse that alleged debt associated with the real estate or the property.
Okay, so you're in a property that doesn't belong to you. Are you a tenant
in
the property?
It does, because I have possession. I have actual possession.
Okay. Do you have possession supported by some documentation, for example,
yes.
A lien?
Yes, I do.
Or a deed?
Yes, I do.
Okay, got you. All right.
No, not a lien or a deed, no.
Lease.
But I do.
Yeah, I said lease.
Oh, no, not a lease either. I do have affidavit claiming, you know, possession adversely. So.
Okay. That's what I was getting to. So you're doing the adverse possession thing. All right. I'm going to say this to you respectfully because, adverse possession is something that I think only the skillful should participate in, and it's frowned upon for many reasons that I agree with, all right? But I also know, and Brother Maynard would be able to probably speak to that, is that most of the real estate agents do exercise, in many cases, some form of adverse possession when they're taking over these properties in between sellers and they're acquiring these properties when they're abandoned. That is a form of adverse possession. Adverse possession is something that has gotten many people across this country in a whole lot of trouble. One of the most public figures of that is the priest Elishua Yahweh that's been on my show, and you guys know his story, okay? One of the most realistic stories that you will ever hear. He was charged with adversely possessing a $2 million mall, strip mall. He did it legally. There was nothing illegal about what he did, but they deemed that behavior some sort of a sovereign citizen movement application, okay? Now, everybody else, you and I both, if we wanted to acquire, you know, a $2 million strip mall, we would have to go and get a loan, and we should be providing some compensation, you know, for that property, just as many of you on the phone has done. I don't necessarily believe you should just be able to look at something that doesn't belong to you and file a piece of paper and take it over when everybody around you is paying for theirs or going through another procedure. But
it's not my problem, nor is it yours.
I'm with you, and I understand that, but this is what I'm saying. This is what your problem is going to be. When you have to defend that action, okay, your problem is going to be that everybody else that you have to go before to defend that is not going to understand that. Additionally, since you're calling into the show, it appears that the knowledge behind you doing that, you haven't acquired to the point where you're comfortable going in
was just actually wondering what approach you would take, because let me just speak on this. I've done a previous one, and it was like one mistake that I did make, and it was challenging the validity of the standing or whoever was trying to say that there was a debt, you know, associated with such. So
okay.
I've had some success with that, but I was just wondering if you were to be in a situation like that, what way would you go about, you know, doing?
I would do it the same way I teach on this. I would do it the same way I teach on this show, but the problem is, I would say it's the same way, but then again, it's different. Because you acquiring that property by adverse possession, your name is not on any deed or any note. Okay, let's just say, for instance. So when you go before the court, action.
Let me finish.
So since your name is not on that debt that they're claiming is an encumbrance against that property, then how can really you show up and defend someone else's debt when you don't have any documentation to support any nexus or any interest in the property except for your possession of it? And I understand you there. So let's say the debt collector went and did a foreclosure and they sent the foreclosure to Jackie Chan, who owned the property prior to you, or owned the property prior to you obtaining possession. So can you show up for Jackie Chan? Well, no. So when they
intervene, can I not intervene upon that actual possession? I would think so.
I would think you can intervene.
Possession that gives me a legal basis to intervene in the situation.
Okay, so great. So let me role play with you and let me tell you what you're going to experience. And it's a good question, and I understand where you're coming from. I'm just preparing you for what you're going to experience.
Right.
Maybe in the other situation,
there was probably
a case where they just went away, or the debt was stale, or maybe it was statute of limitation that kicked in. But let's say in this instance, they're actually in a situation where they're coming after the property because of an alleged debt that's owed by the previous owner. So you're going to do a motion to intervene. You can do that. Legally, you're entitled to do that, and you're going to say, I'm intervening, court, and you're going to do a notice of appearance, and you're going to do a motion to intervene. And you're going to say, you know, to the court, basically, I've acquired the property by adverse possession. I have an interest in the property. I've had the property for X amount of time. I might have done some upgrades or whatever to the property, and I'm coming in to defend possession of the property. Okay, that's fine. The court may let you come in. And more than likely they will. But this is where I'm going to say you're going to have a problem. When they begin to talk about the debt that Jackie Chan had, as an example, on the home, how are you able to defend Jackie Chan's debt? How do you know whether he acquired a loan? How do you know whether they follow protocol? How do you know that in his mortgage contract that they couldn't do this? And how can you speak for Jackie Chan? That's what I'm saying. Now, what I'm saying
is going through a lot of different things, but I'm not.
Sure.
Well, I won't entertain that right now. But go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Okay. So when you're not able to speak for Jackie Chan, then the court may allow the foreclosure to go through because the foreclosure has nothing to do with you. Where it will have something to do with you is when they come to displace you or evict you, and then you're going to have the issue of possession, saying that I have possession, you don't. What makes your demand for possession higher than mine? So this is where I think you can probably engage them and say, well, I have adverse possession. And they're going to say, well, we have a judgment from the court that we can acquire the property. So the only thing I would do, my brother, is to start communicating and then have an intercourse with them and saying, look, I'm in the property. I have adverse possession. I need to obtain documentation or evidence of the debt that you allege, that you claim. I need to see... You know, I need to see your
and that's
chain
a,
of title.
That's the approach I was going to take. I was just wondering, you know, how it was something that's the way I would do it.
Yeah, you want to start some intercourse, and maybe they will give you some standing by communicating with you if you give them the sense that, listen, I'm looking at the documentation that is recorded in the county. All right? That documentation,
yeah,
in my opinion.
That documentation, and there's a lot of errors in it, but, you know.
Sure. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling you what to say. I've acquired the documentation that's recorded in the county, and a review of that documentation demonstrates that you have no perfected lien in the property. You follow what I mean? So you can start having that intercourse with them and have them respond to you, and maybe they will send some communication, which they probably will slip and do. If they turn around and don't address Jackie Chan and address you as the property owner or at least the person in possession, then now you have a name, communication.
I have received correspondence from them listing the name and then saying all other parties with interest or something right below it. So, yeah, I would be considered the other interested party. They put that in the documentation. So I think that is, you know, that would establish a legal basis because they already put it within that subtitle to section. Well, they're basically addressing either or, either this person or anyone with the interest of real estate or the property.
Okay, well, now let me ask you this. That communication where it says all interested parties, in my experience, that type of language would only exist usually if they're in some sort of a lawful detainer or eviction. Is that the communication you're referring to?
Well, that was a previous previous one.
Okay, so if they're naming you,
and I made a mistake not making the legal, you know, establishing my legal basis for it once to intervene. I did make that mistake, so I'll chop that up as a law.
Okay.
But,
so that's what I'm saying, brother, that if you didn't intervene in the actual foreclosure action of the property and they were able to obtain a judgment giving them the property, basically, and they're just completing the process by doing an eviction of any tenants that may be there, your claim to issue of title needs to be far in advance of them evicting you, because the court is only going
to
hear one
thing. I just want to bring something to your attention also, because
sure.
It was something very peculiar that happened when, you know, they tried to file a suit for unlawful detainer.
Uh-huh.
And when I showed up to intervene, like I said, the only thing that I feel allowed them to get a writ of possession is because I wasn't able to establish a legal basis for intervening, which I didn't describe what my interest or what if I even have possession. I did make that mistake. I didn't even say that, well, I have actual possession. And I feel like I should have said that, but I failed to do so. And that's, you know, repercussions of me not saying so. That's what took place. They were issued a writ of possession after not being able to answer to that unlawful detainer.
Right. As I always explain to people on the show, brother, is that before you get to the stage,
you want to try to not get to that point. I understand what you're saying.
That's right. You can't help but to get to that point. You just want to be proactive and file something that alleges some issue of title before it even gets to that stage, because the court is able to adjudicate upon the issue of title to determine who has title and, importantly, in your case, who has possession and who's entitled to possession. So if you do that at any point, then the issue of an eviction has to be put on hold until the court adjudicates the issue of title or who is entitled to possession of the property. But if you go in there, on an eviction, let me finish. If you go in there on an eviction only and you're going to argue those things, the court is just going to give them possession and be like, look, you're just a tenant. Look, they addressed
But the whole eviction wasn't the only thing that I was challenging. I was also challenging standing, because if you noticed, every time somebody comes in with some type of claim in the name of somebody else, it's always in the form of representation. And that's actually forbidden by the Constitution. It's the federal Constitution. It's forbidden to have representation. But if you don't challenge, you know, if you don't challenge the validity or whatever it is that somebody's trying to bring some kind of action, if it's somebody that's bringing an action, it's actually them, and that's actually a maxim of law also.
I'm with you on that, my brother. I just don't think those arguments are going to be allowed to be discussed in an eviction court, okay? But, I agree with what you're saying, but when you start getting into those constitutional arguments and things of that nature and representation, you're getting off course. Your issue is who is entitled to the property. I have possession, 9/10 of the law, and they have an alleged claim, and I want to demonstrate to the court that their claim is erroneous, that they don't really have a claim. Okay, Jackie Chan is gone. He's not here. So the court is just going to deem you the court is just going to deem you a trespasser, in all sense of the word.
That would give rise to them having a claim in the matter. And like if they're going to say that someone's a trespasser, now at that point they're making a claim.
All right,
gotcha.
What do you think you want to chime in and say towards the individual? You're a mortgage expert. you would know about adverse possession. You've heard the brother's question and his dilemma and his defense, or rather infervent of defenses to what he's going through. Do you have anything that you would recommend?
What I might recommend is doing a quiet title action.
I thought of that also, yeah. Calling all parties of interest forth to see if anybody has an actual title, and if not, then, you know, the one bringing forth that quiet a title gets granted title to the property.
That's what I would do, start some sort of title action, but, you know, try to get that dispossessory or eviction dismissed somehow, or start the title action now and do a motion to consolidate, or, you know, motion to consolidate those two cases, or motion to stay the lower court until the issue of title has been adjudicated in the upper court. That's the only thing you can do right now. You have to make it a title issue. And I think you'll be successful, brother, at bringing those claims and you know, keep us posted on the results.
Okay, most definitely. Thanks for the info.
All right, thank you, brother. Peace. All right, let's go to 818. I believe that's California, West Side, 0207. 818-0207, do you have a question?
I do, Brother Sharif. Thanks for taking my call. I've spoken to you before. I live in California, and I have had a thing going on with Citibank about a credit card, and I've had it for a long time. They turned it off. I owe them, like, I don't know, $21,000, and they jacked the interest rate up to 20%. So I sent them a letter, and I asked them for the original agreement that I signed with them years ago, and they sent me this terms and agreement, but it just had nothing to do with what I remembered. I then called them up and said, hey, I got your response to my request, but I'm after the original agreement that I signed with you, and I put a request in for that, and what I got back was a letter stating that because it was so long ago, they don't have any agreement with my signature on it. And I'm wondering kind of where to go with that.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
And then I'm going to let my students try to chime in. But let me ask you a couple of questions now. Is Citibank suing you now in court?
No, I'm current in all my payments.
Okay, you're current. Yeah, I remember your question. I believe you called in last
week.
So you're current. They increased the interest amount. And what was the results of the question last week, and what has changed between last week and now?
Well, what changed was is I got a letter back from them. It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was like 3 weeks ago I spoke to you. Uh-huh. I got back a letter from them saying that there's no original agreement with my signature on it. So I don't know what the original agreement was. And I don't know how they have come around to raising the interest rate to 20%. And I don't know how we got from the original agreement to where we are. And
okay. But,
I don't understand.
Account with them, and you're paying the bill.
I have a current
account.
Which
is what I remember.
I don't know that it's the original account. Oh, there was one other thing. I don't know who the original agreement was with. When I get my statement, it says Citibank in one area, but I make my payments out to something called Citicards.
Uh-huh.
I have two separate things, and I can't find Citicards registered anywhere.
I believe, is just a card that you have. Who produces the cards, more than likely? Citibank is who backs those cards. So, you
yes,
know, like you have it. Discover, you might have Discover Card, which is the card itself, but then Discover Bank is the backer of the card. So don't get lost there. What I'm trying to understand is you're not denying that you have an account. You're not denying that the account is good and that you're paying on the account and it's current. So it sounds like to me you have a legitimate a creditor in front of you. You
what?
Seem to be disgruntled about, and understandably so, about the fact that interest rate has increased to an amount that would balloon your payments far beyond your means, maybe, or beyond where you want it to be. I understand that, too.
It's making it difficult, let's say.
I understand. Trust me. So
okay. Most
of the times when we sign these execute these contracts and these applications with these credit card agencies, we don't read the fine print. The fine print is many times 2, 3, 4, 5 pages, okay, and you have
right.
to get a microscope to read it. So I'm sure that within the content of that contract is a clause that they can, based on several factors, maybe they looked at your credit report and your credit score diminished some. Or maybe they looked at your employment and see that, you know, or maybe you acquired some more debt that puts your debt to income out of whack. There are many reasons why they are allowed to increase your interest rate. And I'm sure if you ask them, why my interest rate increased to 20%, they have a reason. I'm not saying it's a good reason, but I'm sure that they have a reason. And since you have already made the charges on it, and now they're just attaching an increased interest rate to the charges you already made, it's not like you can say, okay, end game, because you have to pay the interest rate affixed to those charges you already made. So I understand the position that you're in.
Can I chime in for a second?
Sure.
Can I just, okay. The point I'm trying to make here is that I'm okay with all of that, right? But I want to see where I signed and agreed to that. And in order to do that, just from the viewpoint of a contract, right, I want to see the original contract. I want to know how we got from the original contract to where we are. And they're saying, oh, we don't have any original contract. There's no signature. There's nothing. We're just charging you this.
Now,
so
did you open up this account by phone?
No,
Internet?
I did it years ago and signed an actual application and sent it in.
Okay.
And I did it a long time ago. I didn't open this account by phone. And
so
they're saying, oh, we don't
have
it.
I see what you're saying. So you want to focus on the fact that there may be something they're missing, which will put you in a better bargaining position that would say, listen, if I had to take you to court, if I decided to stop making the payments today and you decided to sue me over that debt, you're telling me right now you don't have a contract that I executed. You don't even have a copy of one. So how are you going to prove that I first agreed to that? Now I understand what you're saying. If that is the position that you are in, be honorable. What do I mean by being honorable? You and I know you have a legitimate account. What I would do is call them and be like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I would ever execute a contract that would allow you to manipulate the interest rate to the point where you're making things uncomfortable for me. And I definitely not normally would do something like that. So I called and asked for the contract so I can read where I waived or agreed to you being able to do so, and you've informed me that you're unable to provide a memorandum, in other words, a contract that I agreed to what you're saying. Since you don't have that, you and I have a problem, because if I stop paying you today, how are you going to prove I ever agreed to it if you don't even have a copy of that contract, all right? And
right.
You need to get something in writing saying that they don't have that. Why? Because later on, if they try to forge one, which is what they do easily in society now, then you would be able to demonstrate that long ago they told you they never had a copy or an original of that contract. With the position that you're in, what I would say is you and I need to talk, and one or two things is going to happen. I'm going to more than likely file suit against you, because I really don't believe you have that ability to increase my interest rate to 20 or 21%. And if you are unable to provide admissible evidence, for example, that contract that I executed, then, buddy, you're going to have a hard time. Now, I don't want to get to that point. I just want you to do this. Bring my interest rate down to where it was, and you and I will continue doing business. Okay, and if you want, send me another contract, and maybe I'll go ahead and you can lock me into that rate for the duration of my credit card account. Would that be fair to you?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
that would be. I'm not trying to get out of the debt. I just feel like they've bent me over, and they're being usurious in their actions.
Yes.
And so I appreciate what
you just
said.
I would think that would be honorable. Yes, that would be honorable to me, as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm just not going to pay it at all. Try to come after me without that contract and see what happens. I think they can appreciate keeping your business, still getting some interest, but understanding they're in a catch-22 and in between a rock and a hard place. And I think you pretty much got them in a position to where, you know, they got to deal with you. Maynard, Sharon, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, Brother Sharif, of the tactic that that you would employ. And I really have nothing more to add to that. I think that's the honorable way to go about doing it.
All right. Sister Sharon, what do you think?
Well, for the caller, I would ask you this question. Who are you in communication with at City Cards?
You know, I have to go back and look at that letter. I think I'm in communication with Citibank. I'll have to go get the letter and see who signed it. I was looking for it just now. I couldn't find it. But I do have it around.
Okay. The reason why I ask that is sometimes we're communicating with the frontline people, such as the customer service reps. And, you know, they're only frontline people. But if you really want to get, I say, down low and dirty, start looking for the supervisors and managers' information. Ask who is the head of that department and drop that letter to the head of the department. And let them know that you want to see the agreement that binds me to this agreement that you have that allows you to increase my interest rate to this level. And I want to know why my interest rate went up to such a level because, you know, your agreement says that I'm supposed to pay X interest rate, blah, 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 over a period of time, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Now, I don't understand why you've increased my rate now at this point, and you are unable to show me evidence of the original agreement that I signed with you. So I would go a higher level if you're dealing with frontline people and go up, you know, the scale, supervisor, manager of that particular department with a Citibank or Citicards or whoever is on that documentation. So that's how
beautiful. Beautiful. 1 second. Y'all hold tight. Both of y'all hold tight. Hold up.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Man, Sister Sharon don't even want to talk to nobody on the lower end anymore. She's just like, give me the supervisor, give me the manager, give me CFO. Let me talk to somebody because I got that knowledge, Sister Sharon. I had to do that, Sister Sharon. You just like, I don't even want to talk to little people anymore. Little people are beneath me. I got knowledge and I got experience now. Give me the big dog. I love it. Brother, I think, you know,
one last point.
Sure.
Okay, so look, I do have a letter that says that they don't have any original contract. The documentation's gone. I do have that letter.
Now let me say one thing to you, because you said original documentation.
That's right.
All know that there's no originals really anywhere when it comes to these notes and applications and things of that nature. Are they saying they don't have a copy or anything, or are they saying
they don't have
original?
A copy? They don't have anything. They don't have a copy of any original document with my signature on it.
Okay, beautiful. I think we gave you, you know, your course of action there, and I think you should do that in writing and keep it on, you know, keep it paper trail. I mean,
all right,
call.
Well, I'll let you know how I do.
Please
I love
do,
you,
brother. Thank
Sharif.
You.
I appreciate
I love
what
you
you're
too,
doing.
Brother.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. I like my students how they rolled in. I like Sister Sharon, like, give me the big dog. I listen, you know. Look. All right, we're going to go to 412-15. No, we're going to go to 111-1111. You're on High Frequency Radio. Your line is open. Do you have a question?
Yes, Islam. Peace to God. My question
Peace, brother.
Was,
Peace.
Is filing a claim the same as filing a suit?
Yeah, that's a good question, brother. And you know, I'm very big on language and pronouncing things correctly and using the right terminology so people are not confused. I think claim is a word, although a legal word, but is a terminology that emanates from the patriot community. And everything is a claim. Do you have a claim against me? Do you have a claim? You know, I think that's where that comes from, and we intertwine the word complaint with claim and claim with damages. And, you know, a complaint is a lawsuit, okay? That is a lawsuit, which is a statement of facts. If you're in a district court, okay? Fact pleading is required in a district court, okay? And a complaint is a complaint. A claim is a claim of something, claim of damages, okay? Claim of whatever. All right, so you can make a claim within a complaint, all right? But
okay.
You can't make a complaint within a claim, if you follow me. So they're different. So when you say I'm going to bring suit against you, that means I may file a complaint against you, and that complaint can be a claim for damages for violation of blah, 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 blah. So if you say I'm going to bring a claim against you, then, you know, you got to use the proper wording. You want these debt collectors to understand what you're about to do. You can say, listen, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, or if you do not comply with the provision set forth in 15 U.S.C. 1692G as set forth in that code, then I may bring a complaint against you in the United States District Court of Competent Jurisdiction in the county where I reside. Okay?
Okay, so you can file, I mean, once you file your claim, you can also ask for your remedy in your claim.
You're still saying claim. Once you file a complaint in court, you can, within that complaint, claim your damages. Okay? So just, I know where you're getting that from, but I know you don't mean it. I'm just trying to change your language, because if you use claim instead of complaint, and you know, it's not like using tomatoes and tomatoes. You're saying something different with claim and complaint. You can say, I'm going to file damage. I'm going to file a complaint and claim that you damaged me to the tune of $10,000. Those two words are not synonymous. They're different. They have different meanings, and they would understand when you said that what you're going to do. But if you say, I'm going to file a claim against you to a debt collector or anybody else, they're going to be a claim what? Like, what are you talking about? You understand? Because that word is being used incorrectly.
I got you. I got you. That was a lot of help.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Peace. Right. Thank you. All right, we got three more callers. We got 52 minutes left. Let's get some more callers in here. Why y'all light on the calls? I got my students here. Ask my students a couple of questions. I want to get them exercised. I want to, you know, do some bench pressing. I want y'all to prick their conscience. We're going to go to Let's go to 206-3098. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question, comment, or concern? 3098. Greetings. How are you, mother?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes,
loud and clear.
Greetings. Okay, I wanted to ask you about something that I saw in the news today. It said that Capital One, I believe it's Capital One, was now going to be able to show up at its at consumers' homes and as well as their workplace.
Really?
That was in the news today, yes.
They were going to be able to show up at consumers' homes and workplace?
Correct.
Show up to do what? To bring you a check or to check on you and make sure you're not going to sue them, or they're bringing you an offer for a new credit card, or what are they going to show up and do?
They didn't say, but it was to the effect of collecting on debts.
Oh, wow. Can you send me that letter, or can you let me know when one of them show up at your house or your job so you can come
they
on
won't
the
be
show
showing.
and we can do a claim, I mean a complaint against them, you know what I'm saying? Because that's, like, ridiculous. I mean, I didn't hear that, and I don't know to what extent or to what regard they're going to be showing up for, but that is prohibited, okay? Capital One is, they offer credit cards. I know that. They are unsecured debts, okay? So you're saying now they're going to show up and ask for the pot and pans that you bought with the credit card, and they're going to collect that and sell it to Goodwill. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do.
I'll find the article and send it to you.
Please do. I haven't heard of that, but I don't know any right a debt collector has to show up at your house. I mean, they usually submit to paper terrorism by sending you a bunch of deceptive letters and, you know, corrupting your credit profile and sending information to your job trying to verify your employment. I mean, they can do that, but as far as showing up, that would be unconstitutional, and that's a word I don't use with that, but that would be unconstitutional and a violation of your privacy. I mean, nobody has the right to show up to your property unannounced, and definitely not trying to collect any alleged debt. If they're the original creditor, they have to take the same course of action everyone else has to do and file a suit in court. but they can't show up and be jacking you or invading your privacy or harassing you. When you read 15 U.S.C. 1692, a violation is harassment of any sort, whether phone calls or letters, you know, that is harassment, and you are able yourself to issue a cease and desist and tell them, listen, I don't want to communicate with you anymore. I don't want you calling me. You can communicate with me by mail only. You know, you have that right. But showing up at your house, that would add some damages from my end. What do you guys think, Sharon and Maynard? What do you think about that?
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to ask you, where are you domiciling?
I domicile in Washington, but this was on Channel 7 Morning News. I think it's the CBS News that I saw that on.
Let me tell you something. Washington Revised Statute, let me just say this right quick. The Washington Revised Statutes, the consumer protection laws in Washington? I'm thinking about moving to Washington. Let me just go on and say that. Okay, I tell y'all that all the time. That is a great state for you to begin your demonstration against the debt collectors is in Washington, because they have some of the most strongest consumer protection laws and highest statutory amounts allowed when those debt collectors violate. But go ahead, Sister Sharon.
That's why I wanted to know where she was, because I know I haven't seen that since morning on out here in New York about anything about Capital One. And regardless whether or not Capital One wants to walk up on your doorstep, they have to go through the judicial system. And I've been in the court. It's like a stock market exchange. With every debt collector you can think of is in the court trying to get a default judgment on you, they can't just walk up on your doorstep and ask you to pay something. They have to validate and verify that you owe them that debt. So that, to me, is maybe just some newscast or trying to make some headline news, but I don't think any one bank entity or debt collector would be given jurisdiction to walk up on your doorstep looking for your toaster or your refrigerator, your car, and whatever else you purchased with that credit card. I mean, and I know people who have won cases with Capital One because they could not even prove the actual dollar amount that you owe them.
Yeah,
so,
Capital One is
that's
sloppy.
That's my take on it. Mm-hmm.
Brother Maynard, what do you think?
Yeah, this is really highly irregular, and I really would have to see that article and look at that to disseminate what they're talking about, because this does not compute to any degree of law.
Right.
So,
right. So Mother, you know, if you could email me and or listen to the, because you know that the news cycle is repetitive, so I'm sure they'll play it 10 times or more today before 5 o'clock. If you can just, you know, give me a link or listen to the content of that that news broadcast and see how they're justifying that type of personal contact with your job and your residence. And let us know about it, and we'll talk about it on the show. And I'll I'm good at being a fire starter. You know, we'll have Capital One, all right, being just cap at the end of the day. They won't be one anymore, because that type of action will not be tolerated by this consumer society, at least the people on this show and abroad.
Absolutely. I also want to share, I guess, what I would consider to be a partial success. I haven't completed the process yet. I'm still in the middle of it, but I'm also dealing with pretender lenders attempting to foreclose on myself or one of my properties. And I have been following you and also your process, for the last several months. And I initiated a small claims complaint against the pretender lender. At the 24th hour, which was on a Sunday, I decided that I would just back out and file a federal case. But it was too late to go in and stop the case that Monday. So I went in. I didn't take any of my paperwork, which I regretted. I just brought the complaint. But when I went into court, it had to go before the judge so that it was on record. the before you go before the judge, they ask you if you want to do an arbitration. And when they asked me, I told them no because I knew what my intention was. I wanted to withdraw without prejudice. But the pretender lender wanted to do arbitration. So I agreed to go in and do the arbitration because I wanted to hear what they had to say. I went in and I told them that my, you know, I was there to withdraw the complaint without prejudice because they were, you know, I wanted to bring it in front of a federal or state court. And they got in and they started arguing the debt and also the, you know, the pretender lender, which has gone long, you know, they're it was Washington Mutual. So I went in and I told them that they were debt collectors under FDCPA. And they said that they were trustees and they could not be debt collectors. And, you know, I basically slam dunked them. And the attorney for Quality Loan Services just put his head down.
Yeah,
Quality Loans, yes. Because they didn't extend me any credit. They didn't provide any services for me. And so when we did the quorum, the you know, they went out, or Quality Loans went out, and the two arbitrators were just, they were smiling from ear to ear because they had never heard anyone go on the offense like that.
Okay, time out, sister, because you deserve, wait a minute, just hold up 1 minute.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mother, you put that spirit on them, and they were smiling because, listen, I'm going to tell you guys something, everybody. The legal society and those judges don't always like to see people getting slayed. You understand? They see enough of that because those of them that are not on this show or any other show that teaches on this topic, they sit back and they be like, if these people would just read, if they would just study their own paperwork, they would stop getting slayed. So they were smiling because they had never seen anybody go into the kitchen and put together those ingredients the way you did it and served a platter upon them in a manner that they were just delightful eating it. It was good to see someone knew something. And let me tell you something. I love the way you have listened to the things that are demonstrated on this show by taking the pretenders out of their mask and saying, I know you say you're a trustee, but you're not a trustee. You're just a debt collector. I know you say you're an attorney, but yeah, you're an attorney, but you're a debt collector. Like, I understand you saying that you are this, but you're really not that. You're just a debt collector. So every time they try to get out of their lane and put on a crown, you're taking the crown off and say, stay in that lane because I learned the language that applies to you. And stop talking to me in another language. And that was beautiful. I know you don't think you did anything great, but just that tidbit, when you told that trustee, you are not a trustee, you're just a debt collector, you killed the foundation, mother. You took their legs from underneath them, and that was beautiful. That was a Sharon move right there. You understand? That was beautiful. But go ahead with your story.
Okay, so so I had to go out of the room. They came in the room and they talked to the arbitrators, and then they brought me back in. Although they were still trying to stay on the fact that they were trustees, he said that he was there to settle the matter on behalf of their client, and he wanted to know what I would settle for. I told them that I would not settle with them there because, again, I wanted to bring a complaint into federal court. So we went before the judge.
Beautiful.
and you know, again, he did his little spiel. In fact, the judge looked at my complaint, and he was like, okay. So, you know, the bottom line is that the judge did dismiss without prejudice because I told him that there were some things that I found out about the debt collector that went over the jurisdiction of small claims court and that I wanted to bring a federal suit. So to make a long story short, in fact, he did give me his card. The attorney did give me his card, and he told me that he would be willing to talk
Yeah. Let me say this, Mother. That was a great job, and I appreciate you standing on your ground. What I would have done slightly different, and you did it great, like they're expecting an anticipation that you, okay, will do something even more detrimental to their pockets. And you said, you know what? I looked at this matter, and I really don't think, you know, the small claims can handle the type of damages I'm going to levy upon them. So I need to dismiss the smaller action, and I have enough evidence or obtain evidence in between the time I filed the initial complaint that, you know, I think I need to go up to the district court and ask for more. So I would have wanted you to enter into some sort of an agreement with them and pick which and choose what would have been in your favor. Like, what do you want to do to settle? What I want to settle? I need you to go away. I need you to not contact me again. I need you to leave my home alone. And if you want to agree to that, I'll dismiss the case with a stipulation agreement between you and I, or I'll continue the case another month and let you and I talk further, okay? And maybe we can come to a stipulatory agreement that you and I we'll continue to be friends. We just won't fight down the road, and you won't continue to harass me about this debt that you now know that I know doesn't exist. You still have an opportunity to do that, which is why the attorney offered you his card. They don't want to deal with you, and this is a great example to tell people that you don't have to be jumping in the district court. Just you bringing a simple action in the small claims court whereby you're able to obtain an order from a judge that just what the sister said, just what you said, judge, they're not trustees, they're debt collectors. Judge, they're not this, they're that. And that alone, without you getting into deep subject matter, you just want that fact to be on the record. You just want that judge to make a declaratory judgment that you're not a trustee, you're not a mortgagee, you're a debt collector. And that in itself changes the direction of your situation. Sister Sharon, Brother Maynard, what do you have to add to that, if you have anything to add to that?
Can
or
I
any compliments to the sister for how she handled it?
Can I just add a couple more things?
I'm excited to hear what she had to say just now. It was beautifully put.
Yes.
You obviously studied. You were articulate. You knew the language. It was, I'm sure it was beautifully done just by what you represented here today. And I commend you, sister.
Beautiful. And no legalese. You didn't hear, quote, any case law and any here to and forth with and how by and all that kind of stuff. The sister said with the spirit that she has, and she has a calm spirit, but she is not a pushover. She says, listen, she softly told them what the deal was. You're not who you say you are. You are who I say that you are. All right? And that is a debt collector. And when she said that, that is all she needed to say, because she changed the whole entire process that they were doing. And she caused them to change direction and say, look, she already pulled the mask off us. Halloween is over. She knows, you know, she knows our identity. We're debt collectors, and we're trying to do something that is something that a creditor would do, okay? And we're not creditors, and she caught us. So, of course, they want to settle with you. Now, if the sister didn't know what she was talking about, and like I said, what she said wasn't something you had to go to college for or law school for, okay, it's something that she learned. She told you she learned on this show. And it don't sound like she had to do a whole lot to acquire that knowledge. Again, y'all know I teach identify, period. When you identify, you'll know which direction to go. You'll pull off the mask and be like, now I'm looking at this document, but I'm looking at what you're saying, and that document doesn't represent who you really are. And that was beautiful. Sister Sharon, what do you have to add, or any comments or any uplifting you might be able to provide to the sister?
My sister, I want to commend you, because I know it takes a certain level of energy to actually go into those courts, because oftentimes we're of the mindset that these things are off turf. We can't walk into the courthouse. We can't stand in our own shoes, that we need somebody else to speak for us. And I know it takes a strong energy, and you have that energy. And it takes a calm spirit, because I remember the first time I went into this course, I was very angry. And I saw that it interrupted my flow of speech. And the second time I went in, I calmed myself down. And I realized going in with a calm demeanor aids you. And they were going to look at you as if, how are you so calm? So I commend you for actually taking the stand to go in there and see how this system works. And I just wanted to, you know, say to you that you hit them where it hurts. And as Brother Sharif has taught us, look at where they're attaching themselves to you. And that's where you're going to hammer them. And you took the mask off. You let them know you knew they were debt collectors and they had no capacity to come in and take you into these courts. And that's why now they want to negotiate with you. So you hit them where they're latching onto you. And I just wanted to commend you on that.
Beautiful.
Thank you, sister,
you did a great job. I will tell you, sure, you can bring your complaint, and don't think I didn't hear when you said the judge looked at the structure and form of your complaint, and I'm sure you probably was at one of the webinars. I don't know if you had one of the sample complaints that I had out there, but you looked the part, you wrote the part, and the judge looked at you, and your demeanor and your spirit matched everything within your documents, and you were confident but calm. When you have that knowledge, and the Creator endows you and bless you with certain knowledge, a confidence comes upon you that is not rambunctious. It is very calm, because you look at that debt collector and you say, I'm going to ask you a question intentionally, and I know that you are going to give me an answer that is going to be the answer that will have you write me a check. So I'm going to ask you calm. I'm going to answer you calm, because I have nothing to be excited about. And Sister Sharon, when I met Sister Sharon initially, Sister Sharon was a hot sauce. You understand me? Sister Sharon didn't play. If she believed in something, she might have not had all the knowledge, but she's going to let you know her belief. Now Sister Sharon is about four notches below, but she's more deadlier in her delivery, because the delivery has the ingredients of confidence, of knowledge, and Sister Sharon now don't want to talk. If Sister Sharon go in the bank, I bet she asked for the branch manager. She just don't want to talk to nobody little anymore. She want to talk to the big dogs. Like, I got some knowledge, let me talk to you. Okay, so that was beautiful, sister. Call those people and, you know, mitigate with them. You know, it's not always have to file a lawsuit and complaint. Call them and talk to them and be like, listen, this is what I know. Don't give them everything you know. Just, this is what I know in a nutshell. I know you're not a debt collector. And this is what also I'll tell you. You've left me in an abundance of evidence in the county recorder and Dunning letters and everything else that I can sit up here and probably sue you for the next 5 years. Do you understand that? You have to. You have no other way to do what you're doing unless you leave some form of paper trail or verbal trail, okay? So now that we know that, and you know that I can really hold you liable for actual damage, and in some cases if it's the FCRA or certain consumer protection laws or certain torts such as intentional infliction of emotional distress, that you know, you can be looking at writing me a very significant check. So what is it that you don't initiate the offer yourself, okay? Say, what is it that you're willing to offer me, okay? What are you willing to offer? Well, what do you want? Well, first of all, what I'll tell you is not what I want. I'm going to prevent you from harassing me and continuing to deceive me on some fact that I owe you a debt. That's one. So what did I say there? I need you out of my life. But second of all, while you're leaving, I need you to, once you get your bag and your hat and your coat, I need you to pull out your wallet and leave me a tip in the form of a check for even deceiving me. That's all I need for you to do. Now, worst case scenario, if he leaves you alone, if they leave you alone, you'll be okay. you'll have your house. They won't bother you. You won't have to deal with them again. That's a benefit. But, you know, try to get them to do both. Leave you alone and write you a check for your time, okay, for your stress, for the time you had to spend studying, learning, and gaining the knowledge to be able to prevent them from making you a debt slave.
Yes, and yes, I've done exactly that. And I've also, and another thing that they left me in the small claims court was they put together a small claims trial brief. So it lets me know how they, you know, it just gives me, as you said, it's just more of a paper trail.
Yes, they took you serious and understand that everything they write and everything they say can be used against them. Sort of when you, like when you get arrested, anything you say or do, they ain't say it can be used for you, but against you. So anytime these debt collectors write a complaint, sue you, any times these attorneys put erroneous information in those complaints and allege that you did this and you did that and they can't support those allegations with evidence, that is a claim that you lied. You said I owe you $100,000. You better be able to prove that I owe you $100 because you said that. And I know I don't owe you $100,000. That's a damage. Okay? So, like I always tell you, the strategy is get them writing, get them talking, and for me, get them suing so you can turn that around and turn that into some money. Great job, sister. Keep me posted. If you need my help, if you need that last 5-yard stretch, don't hesitate to call me, and I will definitely do everything that I can to push you across that line.
Thank you, and please doing these shows because it's working. It's working
thank
for
you,
us.
Thank you, sister. We appreciate
so thank
that.
You.
Sister,
thank
before
you
go, I just before you go, I just saw the article that you were talking about, Capital One, and that's on CNN Money by Chris Isidro, and it says despite language in its credit card rules allowing it to do so, Capital One won't be coming to customers' homes to try to collect on bills. So apparently they have this written into their agreement that they can walk up to your door and try to collect on their credit card bills. So the article says, relax, Capital One customers. The bank says it won't be showing up at your front door or office to collect on delinquent credit card bills, even though rarely read fine print in the bank's credit card rules allows it to do just that. So they won't be doing it, but it's written into their fine print, okay?
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Thanks for researching that. That's a student teacher in the making, is able to research the information while the sister presented the call to the community and give a great explanation as to what they were doing. While we're on the issue of contracts, you have to understand that what is happening on this call and other groups that are doing the same, I am not saying that we're the only ones doing it, okay? In honor to everybody that has taken this issue serious and is helping the people, uplift the people and elevate the people beyond these situations. But, you know, they're coming out with new contracts now, okay, and you need to read them. We're going to – Brother Sharif don't teach you not to have intercourse commercially, not to get credit, not to do business with these banking industries. You're going to have to. Okay? And you're going to want to when you learn the rules. And this is teaching you the rules. So they're changing those contracts. Trust me. In 2014, those contracts are far much different than 2011. You better read them. Because with how they're getting sued and the amount of checks they're writing and the amount of damages that they have been open to, trust me, the attorneys, you don't see those contracts written the same way anymore. You're waiving a whole bunch of more rights, and it's going to make you – it's going to put you in a position where a lot of these remedies that we're sharing and strategies are going to be more difficult to employ. So, you know, just be on the lookout for that. But, sister, I thank you. Keep up the good work. We appreciate you sharing that call with the community. And we're going to be here. Either myself or these two people or more are going to be on the phone. You know, High Frequency Network is going to ensure that this avenue is here for the people, all people. Thank you. Blessings to you. All right, let's go to 901-6917. 901-6917, your high frequency radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Peace.
This is Brian calling from Tennessee Territory.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you. Somehow I came across your blog talk, and I've been studying. And I found out I was evicted with a forcible entry detainer in 2010 by a debt collector now. And it was after a year-long fight. And what I found out right before they evicted me is that the forcible entry detainer was not, they didn't even put in the person who's in whose favor it was for. That was the only thing they had to do in General Sessions Court to make it a valid warrant and to write a writ of possession. I want to know if I can, what I should do to move forward since I found that out.
Okay, brother, I'm going to try. You're talking a little bit low, so if you would just speak up a little bit, but I'm going to try to paraphrase what your question was. I heard you were going to do an unlawful detainer, and you mentioned the year 2010, and then you mentioned you were fighting them for a year. Can you repeat again what process you're in, what stage you are in right now? Are you in an eviction proceeding?
No, I've been out of the house for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so you've been out of the house 3-4 years, and you discovered that the eviction was wrong and the previous foreclosure was wrong, and you want to ask how you can go back and probably profit from that erroneous behavior?
Right. Because from my understanding, everything that happened because of that case now is their trespass on the case, because it was void from the beginning. Because I went to the law library and I researched it, and that's the one thing that they have to do. They have to write in whose favor it's for.
Okay.
And
man, for searching the record and looking for errors and mistakes, you know, errors and omissions is what they call it commercially. But I big honors to you for doing so, and you should, make sure that they follow every procedure. And let me tell you something, they never do. Not the banking, and many times not even the legal society. The ones that you're suing or suing you, they sometimes make big mistakes that would render whatever judgment they were able to obtain void, or have you be able to have them start all over. And speaking of start all over, let me share with you this example for the community when speaking about starting all over, and I think this will uplift everybody listening. I was contacted about a case, actually in New York, Sister Sharon and Maynard. A brother of a friend of mine contacted me, and they had Bank of America, I believe it was. Had filed a lawsuit, and it was from the Stephen J. Baum, which was the original foreclosure king. In New York, and their offices is now closed, and I believe that he is disbarred, but probably still, riding around in his cruise ship from all the many people he displaced out of their homes. Okay, he should be in jail. All right, but at any rate, I was contacted, and Stephen J. Baum had a process server in New York that was working with his firm, and they were doing all of these lawsuits, foreclosure complaints and summonses, and they wasn't serving people as they swore they were. So I came across a case where the brother had a case that was filed in 2011, and it, progressed through the system, and the brother didn't know that there was a foreclosure going on. He was never served, although this process server company had put in an affidavit under oath, penalty of perjury, that he had served the homeowner. Well, the homeowner was never served. And when I got the documentation and started looking over it and auditing all the information, it's 2014 now, and somehow he received a letter from the court, which is how he discovered that there was a foreclosure. He discovered that in 2012 or 2013. So without knowledge and without knowing what to do, he, and something we always do is we always want to go in and start with subject matter and start fighting and defending instead of doing the proper thing is to look at the procedure, look at the steps, make sure that they followed, first of all, the agreement, whatever the agreement is, make sure they successfully and properly performed all the conditions precedent, and then you look at what the subject matter is and decide how you should provide your affirmative defense. So the first thing he did was come in and be like, oh, no, no, man, I want to answer his complaint. Basically, he provided an answer, all right? And then when I was able to look at the documentation, he was able to discover that. I said, well, I'm looking at this documentation. Were you ever served? And he said, no. I said, you were never served. And he said, no. I said, well, there's an affidavit of service by process service saying that, you know, they served you on this particular date and this particular time. And he even has a physical description. Does this fit your physical description? I said, no, man, I think the description said that he was dark skin with a fat mustache, and he said he was light skin with no mustache, and they said he had black hair, and he said he's completely shiny bald, all right? So here we have, which is common in firms all across this country, foreclosure firms, fraud closure firms, and with certain processes that work with these certain firms, is that they want to always make sure that they obtain a default, okay, meaning that they didn't serve him. This process server swore that he served this man, and the description that he put within that affidavit was not correct, okay? So the first thing you do there is attack service, lack of service. Of course, you can sue the process server for lying, and he should be held liable for perjury, okay? So anyway, the case was progressing to the point where they were going to get a default judgment and it went to order reference, and, you know, the referee was about to issue the foreclosure order, and he came in and said, look, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? So what counsel did, and you guys have to look out for this, when you're talking with attorneys, that's why you should deal with groups. You should do consulting with people, strategize with people before you take an action to talk with any attorney or anybody at a foreclosure office. They're not your friends. They're not trying to help you, all right? So what the attorney did was slick, okay, real smooth, and that's their job. They said, okay, well, look, we know we didn't serve you. All right, well, listen, how about you go ahead and sign a stipulation order that you're waiving personal jurisdiction, one, okay, and that you accept service of process today, all right, in 2014, although the case was filed in 2011, okay? So he was going to execute that document. I said, if you execute that document, sir, let me tell you what's going to happen to you, all right? You don't understand what you're doing. Why would you enter into any agreement with somebody that is trying to displace you out of your home? Second of all, statute of limitations, if they started the case in 2011 and it took 3 years to get to the point where they're just now getting to the point where they get an order of reference, meaning the judge signing off on the foreclosure, and you catch them right before that, do you understand what you would do to them if you made them start all over and you don't submit to the jurisdiction of the court? The court doesn't have jurisdiction. You were not served. You don't help them and say, okay, I accept service now. You make them start all over, because if they start all over, now they come at you. Now they're coming at you on a time-barred debt. You follow that strategy. So once we were able to do that, and once he was able to do that, the attorneys called him, and he said they called him probably four times that day trying to convince him, please remove that motion to dismiss based on lack of service. Let's work something out. In fact, we'll drop the case if you just enter into some modification or talk to us or work it out with us. You understand? I wanted to share that story so people understand, okay? Nobody's out there doing you a favor. Do not become friends with these attorneys or debt collectors when they're trying to take your home. It's not personal, it's business, but make it your business. So, brother, for you, what I think you need to do is, yes, you have a wrongful foreclosure that probably occurred, and you have some procedural defects and some latent defects, all right, that exist in how they went after the collection of the debt. So wrongful foreclosure is a tort claim. You can definitely bring that action. You can bring some action depending on the time. If you said they completed the foreclosure in 2011, you know, you might have some time restraints as to what action you bring. You have 2 years under 15 U.S.C. 1681. You have 1 year on the FDCPA. But just try to see, you know, where you're at, like what documentation is out there. Did they do the eviction already?
They evicted me in 2010. The pretender lender, they're not the mortgagee on record. So they popped up a year later and said and appointed themselves a successive trustee. There's no assignment. There's nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, brother, it looks like you have at least a tort claim for wrongful foreclosure. And I would definitely, you know, get somebody, connect yourself with a group that may have filed those type of actions or consult you an attorney, you know, see if you can kind of, you know, manipulate in some way. And I don't mean manipulate, but find a way where you're within the statute of limitations on your consumer protection laws, either for your state or even the federal. And I would definitely go after them. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's good to just leave things alone. Sometimes going back and doing things are difficult when that train has already gained that momentum and has now left the station. You know, it's a little bit difficult. Sometimes you just got to be like, you know, next time I'll be better prepared. That won't happen. I'm not telling you to leave any money on the table. I'm just saying for that sort of task, in your infant stage of this knowledge, it would be difficult without you getting an attorney. And if you went to an attorney, he's going to want some money up front, not unless you can tie in some violation of the FDCPA or the FCRA. In that manner, he'll be able to get some attorney fees, and he may see some relevance or some substance in your case, and he might decide to prosecute it based on that.
All right. Right. All right. They're still reporting on the credit report.
There you go. Well, that's where you can start. Start with a dispute, okay? And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then now you have 2 years from the time you disputed that debt. Now you can see an attorney. Now you're in the game, okay?
Well, but my question to you is, when you see an attorney, when I brought this to the attention of the court, the file vanished. They lost it. The only reason why I still have because I filed the paper into the federal court, and they had to acknowledge that was the judgment.
Okay. You need to email me, brother. It sounds a little bit more complicated. You know, we try to get the quick questions here. It sounds like you got a lot of things, you know, that needs to be talked about. So email me, and you need a private consultation, and I'll talk to you or strategize with you and share with you how I would handle that particular situation.
All right, peace.
All right, peace, brother. Thank you. All right, we only have 11 minutes left in the live stream. The call will go on beyond the live stream. We have 11 minutes left, meaning that if you want to continue listening to this call, you need to call in to 424-222-5250. Those of you that are in the chat, you can continue listening in. There's nothing you need to do. We're going to move forward. I think one of my law masters are here. I think I've seen them here, and I'm sorry if I delayed. 404-3461, your line is open. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Yes, greetings to everybody, to everyone. I have a question in regards to, well, it may be that what you just said may have answered the question. Once the train has left the station, it's just good to, you know, let it go. My question is, once something has been foreclosed and you've gone some years beyond that, like maybe 5 years, there is no recourse, right?
On wrongful foreclosure, you have to look into your state laws and research what the statute of limitations is, you know, on wrongful foreclosure. That is a state tort,
in the state, okay. For wrongful.
State, right. You have to look in your state. You only have 1 year statute of limitations based on the FDCPA, 15 U.S.C. 1692, and you have 2 years on the FCRA, 15 U.S.C. 1681. So, you know, those statutory time limits are, you know, that's firm. Your state may have additional time that you can bring a wrongful foreclosure action. Okay?
Okay. Okay, so I would have to research to see if it was a wrongful disclosure action.
Wrongful
Correct.
Foreclosure action. You're speaking
I
about
mean,
a foreclosure,
wrongful
right?
foreclosure. Yeah,
uh-huh.
foreclosure.
Well, yes. Well, you would have to research the statute of limitations, which means the time you have to bring an action for a wrongful foreclosure. And then secondly, yes, you would have to research and audit your county recorder, your records, your documents, and all the communications that you got to determine whether it was a wrongful foreclosure. You would have to do both.
Okay. Well, I think that answers the question of the statute of limitations.
Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you.
And have a good day. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to 718-718-7861. 718-7861, you're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Peace.
Peace, Brother Sharif. What's going on? It's Amin Ra.
Oh, Brother Amin. All right, brother. This is one of my other students. How long were you on hold? I didn't see you there. I was looking for your number.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I enjoyed the call.
Yeah, you got more numbers than, man, AT&T, so I was looking for it. Just let everybody know, and I'm glad you called in. I mean, this is one of my students that has been with me for a couple of years now, and I met the brother. He is an outstanding brother, along with Sister Sharon and Brother Maynard. He is, too, the up-and-coming, you know, of this group that is on there. I met the brother a couple of years ago. He's a part of the Morris Nation, so to speak, and he leads his own tribe, so to speak, and he'll tell you more about that. I can't speak to that, but when I met the brother, you know, you just meet some people like Sharon and Brother Maynard that just impresses you, you know, and with the brother Amin on the phone, he did a little bit more than impress me. When talking to the brother, I actually seen a reflection of myself. I'm a little bit more amped up, okay? He's a little bit more resignated and calm, but deadly, like a cobra. The brother was able to, he has extensive knowledge, but he was just, he didn't know how to apply it correctly. And just like real men do when they're under pressure and they need help, he put out a call and said, listen, I need help. So I don't remember how he got in touch with me, but he was able to, and we were able to put some things together. And this brother will share with you, and he's been on the show one other time. He will share with you how, you know, I'm not trying to impress anybody, but the knowledge that the things he was able to accomplish, the universe was enabled him to accomplish before meeting me. And then combined with me, the knowledge that I was able to get to him just was a deadly combination that saw him profit almost, and we're just waiting any minute now, profit from him being able to acquire almost $1 million in his personal real estate property and relinquish some other unsecured debts. And I'm gonna just tell you this, and we'll be light on the information, okay? We don't discriminate against debt collectors, and when debt collectors are either banks or law firms or things of that nature, if they violate those provisions set forth, we don't care. Their checks cash too. So, Brother Amin will share with you his experience. Without names and names of the companies and things of that nature, whereby, you know, he received a check, okay, along with the assistance of Brother Sharif from a national law firm in a bankruptcy case, okay? And bankruptcy court, you know, usually is a tool to discharge debt, okay? You don't usually walk out of there with a check. Okay, and if somebody has, you know, call in, let me know. I mean, I'm willing to learn more. But the aggressiveness and the knowledge this brother has, he's almost like another Sharif in the making, and I'm going to give to him everything he needs. And he will be one of the ones that will be on this call because he's been with me a little bit longer. He's learned a whole lot more, and the brother is just amazing and awesome. But he'll share with you his story. He's also in the Pennsylvania, New York area. He has his own group. He really takes care of his nation. He is, I would think, a chief of his nation, so to speak, sort of like I'm a host of this show. And he's doing an excellent job, man. He's doing a tremendous job. And the brother is not afraid of anything. When I was telling this brother what to do and I was sharing him my ideas, he'd be real quiet. He'd absorbed it in, and then he'd be like, all right, Sheree, let me give you a call back. Let me digest that. And he would call me back. And the spin, the season, and he was able to put on it, or he would be like, well, Sheree, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I'm just like, man, I didn't, yeah, well, how about this and how about that? The brother's just awesome, and he's going to be a gentleman that you will hear about there in the future, and I'm going to let him tell him a little bit about his experience, about himself, about his group, and for those of you that are in those areas and really need some good assistance, this brother doesn't play. He really takes care of his people, sort of like Brother Maynard. He takes care of his populace. And he really protects his nation and educate them on these type of matters. So go ahead, Brother Amon, share with them you.
All right. All right. Thanks, brother. And I appreciate you. And I would say I did have a good knowledge and understanding of everything, but like you said, it was a strategy that I lacked. Even though I understood all of these things, it's just strategy is very important. It, you know, so I would say without that, you know, it would have been probably a never-ending conversation with these banks and debt collectors and, you know, attorneys. We would just been going back and forth forever because they knew they couldn't move forward. I could, I mean, I held them up for as long as I did, but really it was the strategy that put the, you know, the nail in the coffin. So that's very important that everybody pays attention to that, that dynamic that he has to offer for whatever knowledge you already have in law. Is it strategy, and I think it's just a mindset, a mentality. I think the training that you get in law school and all these things is so procedural, it's so uniform that it doesn't allow for you to think outside the box. So when you get training from someone like Rupert Sharif, that's what's going to allow for you to come up with your own strategies and things. So once he had me thinking out the box based on what he shared with me, then I started to bring stuff back to him.
Indeed. And let me tell you something. The brother is a natural. I'm telling you, he's a young gun. He's a young warrior. Look, I wanted to go back into his age and come from where he's at. It would be ridiculous. The brother has been before a judge, okay, in a northern state, in a bankruptcy court, and that judge, and he will tell you, and he knows, I'm not exaggerating, that judge who is, of course, when I speak about race, who is of another nationality, okay? He is a Caucasian or what people may deem a white, okay? And since before I got involved with Brother Amon, that judge took a liking to him, okay? They share the first name, which is it, okay? And Brother Amon was able to deflect a motion for relief from stay filed by one of the biggest major banks out there, the biggest, okay? He went before that court. When you want to talk about confidence, when you want to talk about lack of fear, he went before that court. He took on that court. He took on that law firm, and he took on that bank, and that judge seen enough to say, man, y'all not getting a motion for relief from stay. Y'all got some problems. This young black man, okay, with a good bit of knowledge but no strategy, okay, and how to implement that strategy, that judge stopped them at least temporarily. And once he got involved with me, from that point on, he's been before that judge, and he's been, and y'all listen to me clearly, when you do what you're supposed to do and you employ the strategy that locks your debt collector and don't let them out, okay? He has been in the chambers of that judge. This man on the phone, a young, melanated, smart, intelligent man who is an engineer, okay? He's not an attorney. He doesn't have any formal legal education. He's been inside of the chambers of that judge, invited by the judge. And the judge has given this gentleman more compliments or just as many compliments as I am giving him today. And that judge said to him, you are whoever it is that is helping you, that is assisting you, or if you're doing it yourself, it don't matter. I have not seen a young man like you do to these attorneys in this court what I've seen you do, and then support it with the proper paperwork, with the proper questions, with the proper answers, with the proper etiquette. And he says, as long as you come before my court, this is his words, okay, as long as you come before my court in the manner you're coming, you're always going to get the relief that you need. This is what the judge said to him privately. And this is also what the judge said. There are some good judges out there. Y'all know I talk about the legal society, but I always be fair and say not everybody is corrupt. There are some good ones. There are some great attorneys out there. There's some great paralegals out there. There's some great people that work in the banks but can't do anything about it. But this judge, okay, acting accordingly, was told this man, said to this man, gave him encouragement from the other side, okay, the legal side, and from another nationality, which most people think that is so racist against us, that is not the case all the time. There are some people that absolutely love when you stand up for yourself, when you study, when you learn, and when you apply the law in the proper fashion, not only in its application, but then when you add your own seasoning and salt and pepper and strategy to it, to the point where you're able to corner and cage a law firm. And this gentleman on the phone has been through four law firms since I've been with them. This is how bad the ass kicking, excuse me, has been. Four law firms, and he has went to court because every time we make an application or motion before the court, because this young man has been before that court and he is comfortable, like Sharon said, comfortable going there. Like the sister that I was on the phone that filed the small claims action, I'm comfortable going there. Whenever they file a motion, we are so confident that we've set a hearing. Do you understand? A hearing is what most people are scared of. We set a hearing and say, listen, if you want to go ahead and go up against the young gun, we can go in court and talk about it. I beat you. I think, I mean, you've been to court, what, four or five times, and you beat them every single time? Okay? So when I tell y'all I want to share with you these stories, they're not to give me any credit, okay? Because the Creator allows me to do what I'm doing. I don't need credit. This is my credit. When I can have people like Sharon and Maynard and many others, these are just a very few of them, but this gentleman specifically has no fear, and he studies, he applies himself, and he has the ability to strategize, and he's been before the court four or five times with four or five different lawyers, and every single time he's smiling at them saying, y'all about to get it. Y'all about to get the business. Y'all not winning. That judge is totally messed. He loves when Amin sets a hearing in court because I'm sure he tells everyone else. And Amin was there, and Amin will tell you, the attorneys was arguing with the judge, kind of mad at the judge, wasn't they, Amin? Are you there?
Hello?
I think he got disconnected, Brother Sharif.
Okay. I'm just making sure I was on. All right. But anyway, I think the brother will call back in. He probably was disconnected. He travels. But at any rate, he's not disconnected. He's there. Brother Amin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, brother. I'm sorry. I don't know how your line got closed up. But at any rate, I'll stop going on. But these kind of stories are uplifting to everyone out there that may have a fear of going to court or may have a fear for standing up for their property. And, you know, I get excited about people when they actually get it, because most people don't. And this brother, like I said, he's been before that court, and that judge loves him. I'm sure the judge invites some of the people of his legal society to say, look, I got this young gun coming in here, this young black guy going to come in here and watch him give the business to these lawyers. And I'm sure he has some popcorn underneath his robe, and he's just enjoying the knowledge and the demonstration of that knowledge from this brother. So, Brother Amin, you know, let them know about your group, what you do, and, you know, and whatever else you want to offer them.
And Brother Shreve, the other thing is there's no, so people are not confused, there's no pending foreclosure. These are lawsuits. These are actions we have against the debt collectors. There's not, the motions and all these things that are being filed is not because we're concerned about a foreclosure. We're going after large sums of money at this point. Damages, that's not even, foreclosure wasn't even a concern. That got thrown out and done, like, right away. That was so easy. The thing we're dealing with is large sums of money, and then not only like a regular district court, but we're in bankruptcy court walking out of there with money, and that's not normal. So that's
So in other words, you're telling them that he's trying to make y'all understand that we took care of the foreclosure issue quite easily. Do you understand? And they were coming. Like I said, the brother got almost $1 million in properties. And he's in the mortgage arena, just to let you know. Okay, and he's had a lot of properties, and he wish he had this knowledge prior to now. But we're on the offense, which is what I tell everyone on this call. You got to do offense. If they file in a foreclosure, you file an action in district court or state court, and you run them parallel. You understand? But you got to give them a reason to shut that train down, because you're letting them know if you're foreclosing over here, you're damaging me. And as you're doing it, I'm going to put the camera on over here in the district court with this lawsuit, and everything you say on the left, I'm going to put on the right, and I'm going to show that you've damaged me while you're doing it, not after you do it, like the brother called and said it's 2 years later. So we're on the offense, and they can't go anywhere. We're asking, we got the property. The property's done. They can't even move on the property. In fact, I don't think they've said anything in about 4 or 5 months, and we have some motions out there that, you know, any firm would have something to say. We've put that thing on them so bad, they don't even know what to say. And we're waiting for the check. It is all about how much the check is going to be. We're not in district court. We're in bankruptcy court. You understand? So, you know, go ahead, brother, if you have anything else to add to that or share.
No. I was just want to say we do meet on Mondays, and I am the chief of the Manahatta Republic. That's the jurisdiction of the Aboriginal Republic of North America. We meet on Mondays at 7 o'clock, the National Black Theater in Harlem, between 125th and 126th and 5th Avenue. 125th and 126th and 5th Avenue, the National Black Theater. And I pretty much go over these things every week. Every week someone comes to me saying that they were able to get rid of school loans, discharged, deleted, removed, school loans, credit cards, unsecured loans, any pretty much any debt for free. You just pay your donation to come in the door, and I'm going, or I have projected up there actual lawsuits, actual responses to people's lawsuits, complaints, and we're going point by point over it. Each point of other attorneys' lawsuits, because I want everybody to understand what the attorneys are filing point by point, how much garbage it is. And once you tear that all apart, then you break the spell, and then we can go in and easily answer that. And then I'll help the next week with creating an answer, and we'll put the answer up there and go over point by point how we answer it. And you just make your donation, and you'll definitely learn how to do this. It's like a workshop, and not necessarily. I just want everyone to know how to handle their own matters. Whether you are national or part of my group or not, you can come in and learn these things. Every Monday we have classes.
Beautiful. So, you know, that's what it's about, man. And that brings warmth to me when the brothers are actually going out with their experiences, just as I'm doing on this show, just sharing with you my experiences, my knowledge, okay? And this brother is demonstrating by teaching his people, and he's having workshops and having groups like Brother Maynard is doing, like Sister Sharon is going to be doing, like other people are doing across this country, and other people that are on this call right now are in workshops. They're at Starbucks. They're in their houses, okay, and they're taking notes and they're listening. This is what it's about. So this brother on the phone has plenty of personal experience He is a witness. He has a testimony that he can tell to his populace that, look, I've done this. I've seen it. I've been in court. I know what to say. I know what not to say. I've been on the witness stand. They've had this brother on the witness stand 2 or 3 times, okay? And he hasn't been with no little willy-nilly garage lawyers. Law firms either. Okay, these are some big law firms that he's been in front of, and he can't do anything with them. Okay, and that's how it is. And I thank God for the brother. I thank God for Brother Maynard. I appreciate you sharing that testimony. I wanted y'all to share these testimonies to uplift everyone out there, to have them know that it's not hard. Okay, you hear everyone on this call. Nobody is using big words. Okay. Nobody's on here went to 8 years of college, okay? This is not difficult for you to understand and for you to incorporate into your life. So I thank you, Brother Amen. Y'all know where he is. If you want to be a part of his group, no matter what color or creed you are, go by and study with the brother. This is a brother that has a story. This is a brother that already knows, okay? He's sort of like the attorney that sues the tobacco company and gets the big ruling, and he's the man that everybody goes to when you want to sue for this or that. He's that man right now. And, you know, and I'm not taking credit for it, but, you know, we do what we do together. I come together as a family, and I always reach out to anyone, you know, that has that need to strategize and to for me to offer whatever experience and knowledge that I may have to benefit each other. And he's a great example. So I thank you for coming on. If you want to stay on, I'll leave your line open. If you got to get back to work, brother, I understand that. I'm going to go to the last 2 callers right quick, and then we're done. So we're going to go to 478. Yes, sir.
Brother Street, before you go on, the woman that spoke about Capital One, there was a national that came to one of the meetings. She had brought up to me the same issue. And she was telling me that Capital One is trying to merge what they put in their credit card contract with this Patriot Act and the clause in the Patriot Act that deals with Know Your Customer Act or something, where they get to check to see if their customer are terrorists based on the Patriot Act. And they're trying to make a combine Patriot Act terrorism type stuff to anyone that reads the contract and sees it, something like, okay, we can come to your house, we can enforce a debt, and we can go to your job. All of those same things are in the Patriot Act, Know Your Customer. This is basically their attempt to make anyone that is studying or doing anything against them a terrorist.
Wow.
This is their attempt to try to say, okay, we see that there's some knuckleheads out there doing things, you know, that is bad for the people that are doing it the correct way, like what you're teaching, in the court. So they rely on the people with the knuckleheads that's going to do things differently and say, okay, that's paperwork terrorism. That they're the sovereign citizens that's doing paperwork terrorism, and try to lump everybody in and that whole Patriot Act stuff. And that's why that's being put on the news, to say, okay, yeah, we'll put it in the contract now. Not only is it part of the Patriot Act, but we're going to put it in our contract so we can come to your house now.
Wow. And that's interesting you say that. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I think I have Brother Latif on the phone. I'll open up your line in a couple of seconds if that's you. But it's interesting you say that, because when I was in paralegal school a couple of years ago and we were going over contract law and debt collection, there was an interesting thing that the professor said. And she said, you know, Brother Sharif, she said, you know, in there are clauses in a lot of these consumer contracts that with regards to automobiles, like if you get an automobile loan. She said in most contracts, in many of them, there is a clause that allows the bank to even enter your premises, your garage, while you are not home with a locksmith to obtain their property. And I didn't believe her at first. I thought she was crazy, and everybody in the class was like, "Oh no." She was like, "No, I'm serious." So I went home, and I just went on the internet and researched some basic, you know, credit card contracts and automobile loans, and y'all will be surprised that clause is in there. That bank can, even if you are not home, get a locksmith into your property to obtain their property without a warrant, without a writ, okay? You have to look at what you're signing. I urge everyone to read your agreement and your contracts. We are waiving a lot of rights. They are being very tricky and deceptive, okay? And they're not making us aware of what we're signing because we're just looking at the car. We're just looking at the house. We're just looking at the money. But, you know, you know, in the span of 30 years or 10 years or 5 years, if it's a car, you know, what if something happens and you're not able to make a payment? What rights have you waived within that agreement that would cause you a whole lot of damage and harm down the road? So I'm glad you brought that up, brother, and the Patriot Act and the Privacy Act and all that. We need to become familiar with that. We need to read it. And if it's something, we need to know how to sign these agreements, okay? Not waiving our rights, okay? Not waiving our rights, okay? And that's another thing we need to get into, how to sign contracts properly that will protect our unalienable rights in most cases. So that's a great point, brother. Let me open up this line. I think I have my good brother and original law master, Brother Latif. Is that you, brother? 678-0935. I'll leave that open. I believe that's his number. Maybe he's on another call. All right, let's go to, I'm going to leave your line open, Brother Amin. We only have a few minutes left. We have one more caller, and then we're going to wrap it up. 478-318-7077. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question, comment, or concern? Four seven eight 7077. Do you have a question? All right, let's go to the last caller, 469-6123. 469-6123, you're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah, brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
Okay, I have a quick question. Now, would the IRS be considered a debt collector?
let me say this to you, brother. I'll answer that question like this. If you're a novice and you don't have extensive knowledge on how to prosecute that type of statement, I don't want to give you an answer that will put you on the wrong path. I have seen information. I have seen some type of case law. And I can understand the perception that since the IRS works or gets its orders from the Treasury, that any debt that you're collecting on behalf of the Treasury, they would be an intermediary, meaning they would be a debt collector because they're not collecting their own debt. I can understand that. I haven't really taken the time to study those cases that are out there, but I would say this. I wouldn't bless you going after the IRS in that manner. This is what I will say. Determine whether you're a taxpayer. Determine whether you're an individual under the code. Determine whether it applies to you. There is nothing illegal about the Internal Revenue Service. There is nothing illegal about taxes. What is illegal is you not knowing who you are and what applies to you and doesn't applies to you. The Internal Revenue Service is a legitimate service, and they take care of taxpayers, okay? And I said the word taxpayers. You have to decide whether you are defined in their code, okay, subject to their rules. That's all I'm going to say. If you have a Gold's Gym card in your wallet, okay, and you utilize Gold's Gym services, and you pay a subscription or fill out any documents with them or, you know, whatever have you, you're a Gold's member, okay? If you utilize the IRS, if you use their number, if you are a government employee, okay, doing trade and business, look up that terminology, within the United States, look up the United States, then, brother, you should pay your taxes. You shouldn't feel they're a debt collector. If you use their documents, file their documents, recorded their documents, use their numbers, which is that that 9-digit number. All
right? Right.
If you
right.
use my stuff, if you use my stuff, you belong to me. You understand what I mean? If you got my card
right.
in your wallet, you belong to me, period. All right? That's just simple. I'll keep it as simple as that, but that's as far as I would like to go on that, because sometimes the information that we share here, when people hear it, they run with it in a manner that doesn't apply to the answer, meaning that I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, they debt collector. I don't know that. You know, I know what they are to me, okay? So you have to decide what they are to you. And if you get any benefit from them, meaning that you file something with them and get something back, then you have an intercourse with them. You can't have an intercourse with anybody and say that, you know, you didn't have intercourse with them. You follow what I mean? So that's all I can say towards that, brother. Hopefully that helps you, man. But I think I've put you on the road to find the resource that would have your answer to that. And I urge that you go back and listen to my words and listen to the word individual, to the word taxpayer, and to the word United States, okay, and listen to the word trade and business and understand what – look those up in a law dictionary. Okay, and look it up in the code. And if you can't find it in their code, ask them what that is. Okay, because many times we waive a lot of rights, man, by deeming ourselves certain citizens or deeming ourselves certain individuals or persons. And a lot of times these words are ambiguous, and many times they're undefined, because we take everybody's word for what they say. All right, bro.
And that's the deal, man. I went and I looked up under the USC codes. I even looked under their codes, and I understand what these terms that you're saying is. So I wrote them a letter, you know, asking who were they actually inquiring of. And they sent me back a letter saying, well, what you asked us was frivolous. So I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to write them another letter and ask them what about what the questions that I asked you was frivolous that I can correct them. You know what I'm saying? Because I know these terms, what they're trying to ask and what kind of category they're trying to put me in. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, they're very charismatic. They're legal wordsmiths. They're trained verbal assassins. They know how to take a word, you know, and I keep using the example when President Clinton said it all depends on what the word is. You understand? And if you look in a dictionary, there are 12 definitions of the word is. So everybody stop thinking that you know, especially when you are in these legal settings, you have to understand that they can seesaw in between words and what those meanings of those words mean. And you don't know when they're seesawing. You don't know if they're over on the left talking about what definition on the left mean or the right. So you just have to stay in your lane. You have to put them in their lane like the sister did. Said, listen, I know you're talking all that trustee stuff, but you're a debt collector. So I'm going to define you because I know if I allow you to define you, you're going to have me confused and agreeing to something that ain't true. So I'm going to define you. You're a debt collector, right? Do you agree? Yeah, we agree. You need, here's my business card, and let's talk about it since you found this out. So, you know, if they can't answer your questions, my brother, and they want to you to give them some revenue, I don't know about that. That sounds like a jack move. If you're telling me I owe you something and I'm asking you some simple questions to ask you, are you a debt collector or are you a mortgagee? Or I'm asking you, am I a taxpayer and how am I? Or I'm asking you, or you know, am I subject to this code or not? Or am I in this particular regulatory activity or not? And you, the only answer you can give is that's frivolous. Then, you know, what's frivolous is you asking me for that money. You understand? Because I got to be comfortable and know that I have the right to be comfortable if you're selling me something or you're telling me I have to pay you something or do something for you. I have the right to be comfortable. And I'm going to get really, really kind of, you know, I'm going to get real nervous when I'm asking you simple questions and you're saying that question is frivolous. All right, well, you know, that bill you sent me is frivolous too. Here, take it back.
Right, right. I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
I'm going on the right direction. I appreciate it.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Love you, brother. Keep studying. All right, man. All right, we got a couple of quick more questions. 787-0590. 787-0590, Yaha Frequency Radio. Do you have a question? What's up, brother? What's going on? Hello? All right, well, I get a lot of static. I got some feedback. Let me see if Brother Latif, are you there? All right, so let me go ahead and close that line. Maybe that's where that interference is coming from. All right, let's go to 330-5677. I think we already had 5677. Did you already ask a question?
Yes, I had one more quick one.
All right, quick one, and we're going to get on out of here.
Okay. Can you explain to me about that 900 number?
Brother, that's a question for Brother Youssef. I don't have any information on that 900 number at all, so I'm not going to even pretend. If I pretend, I'm being just like the debt collectors.
Okay, how do I get a hold of Youssef? His email?
He'll be on the show tomorrow at 11 o'clock. He's on the show every day. I believe, except for Thursday, I think Brother Savage is on that show. But go ahead and email highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. And pose that question, he'll be able to lead you in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
All right, peace, thank you. All right, last quick question, 1111. 1111, your line is now open. You're the last call. Do you have a question? 1111, your line is open. Do you have a question? All right, since we didn't answer, let's take this last one. 720-3271, High Frequency Radio, do you have a question?
No, I didn't have a question, but I was wondering, could you give my number to that brother from the 720 number? We might be of some help to each other. He had called me earlier.
727.
Yeah,
okay,
the 720 number, the 319 or something like that.
720-319. Let me see if I can see him, brother. He might have already disconnected. 720-319. I don't. Yeah, seven. No, that's you. Yeah, no, I don't see him, brother. He's not on here anymore. But
okay.
I appreciate
right,
you
thanks,
reaching
bro.
Out, and I like that. I like that you're trying to, you know, meet geographically with people in your own territory. So apologize for
that's
that.
That's right.
All right, brother.
All right, that's all good, bro.
All right,
peace.
Thank you, Pete. All right, let's go to 477-4777. Your line is now open. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Yes, sir, Brother Sharif. This is Brother Delano down in Orlando, Florida. I would just
Brother Delano.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, how can I start a group down here in Orlando?
Man, what you mean? You know this is a self-empowerment show. This is where scientists come to be creative. How you start a group, you just did.
Yes, sir.
All right? You have family. You have friends. You have people that live in your area. You know, you start your group. And then you come on here, ask your question, and let them know, look, I got a group in Florida. Now, Florida, for foreclosures, is a judicial state. Florida has some pretty good state consumer protection laws as well. Florida is a good state for you to start that group. Florida has a heavy population of Latino people, you know, and they need those groups down there because of the language barrier and other prejudices they may experience. So great idea for you to start a group in Florida. I don't have anyone that I know of that has a group in Florida, but
okay.
I'm going to ordain you the creator of such group and get you a few people, man, and I'm serious. Get you a few people and just start demonstrating, man, and start sharing the knowledge, coming on the show, doing some of the things that you hear, and start building your own network, brother. That's all it is.
Yes, sir. All right, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Love you. All right. We're gonna cut the show out here. Look, I want to just give my students a last opportunity just to say goodbye. Any comments about the show, any comments to the community. Again, I brought them on because they are you, okay? And they are no better than you. They've just taken the time, okay, the time to invest in their knowledge, okay? And we have to stop being lazy out here. We got to start investing in our knowledge. Turn off the basketball wives, you know, stop, you know, going to all the basketball games, okay, and being a debtor, okay, and being a consumer. Be a consumer when it's to your advantage, okay, be a consumer plaintiff whenever that opportunity presents itself. But I want to go down the line and let them give you some parting words. These people will be on this show. Sometimes they will take this show in my absence if I don't feel like it or I'm busy, okay, because I'm trying to do things on a bigger scale for a bigger populace. So this becomes a total, complete, worldwide movement. And we start bringing these debt collectors and these fraudulent banksters, okay, to our knees, because we are the masters. We are the people, and they are the public servant, and they are the corporations, and they don't have dominion over us, okay? So, you know, I'll start at the top. Sister Sharon, give us any parting words or comments that you have.
East family, I just wanted to say, you know, what I've managed to learn over the course of maybe 6 weeks of listening to this show, listening to, you know, going to classes with Brother Sharif, is how to really strategize my what I've already knew and the new stuff that I've learned and pull that together and make it work. So, you know, it takes a lot of reading. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of time. You have to turn off the TV sometimes. Turn off the, you know, the news, all the false things, and get into those books. Get on your computer, do some research. Go to the libraries and do some research. There's a lot of law libraries, even at the courthouse. They have law libraries where you can go and research things. There's a lot of resources out there. We just have to utilize it. And I just want to thank you all for listening to us today. And, you know, hopefully I can bless you with more of what I know in the future. Thank you so much.
Blessings, blessings. And thank you so much, sister. All right, Brother Maynard.
Yes. Thank you again, Brother Sharif, for making this opportunity available to us. I'm in my office 7 days a week, and people will say to me, why am I here 7 days a week? Don't I take time to relax? But this is my relaxation, you know.
Wow.
It's become such a part of me that it's relaxing to me. The study is relaxing. And it's just an honor and a privilege to share and be a part of this movement. And I thank you again, brother.
Thank you, brother. And great honors to you and Sister Sharon. I'm hoping I'm going to connect you two together, but I'm sure that with the spirit and intent of Sister Sharon, she's going to want to form her own group. She's going to want to elevate the queens and the goddesses that are out there that needs this information. And I'm sure she's going to do that. But as we know, there is enough checkbooks out there for all of y'all to get one, okay, in any group. I don't care if it's 20 groups, okay. There's plenty of this worthless debt out there, and there's plenty in the legal society that's willing to come and disrupt your life by trying to collect it. So I thank you too. Brother Amen, why don't you share your parting thoughts, comments, or concerns?
Okay, brother, I just want to thank you also for all the support, and I just want to let everybody know that, again, the National Black Theater is between 125th and 126th at 5th Avenue every Monday at 7 o'clock, and what Sharif is building is a think tank of individuals that are on the same accord as him. And I'm learning not just from my own experiences, but when people come every Monday with different situations, different debt collectors, different attorneys, they all have their own strategies and ways. And when we go on the offense with these debt collectors and attorneys, I learn from each of those situations. So if you are being sued or if you are thinking that you want to sue someone, then you should come through on Mondays so that we can build and discuss, because everyone there is thinking on the same wavelength as you as far as lawsuits and law in general. You know, so we can build, because I'm not the end-all and be-all, and Sharif is not the end-all and be-all. We all can build off each other to make each other great. So there's going to be a lot of other individuals who have had their experiences that can share their success, and you can learn from those successes also.
Peace, peace. Beautiful, beautiful. Be on the lookout. These are the new guns. These are the new leaders. These are the new master student teachers. I am just that, a master student, and I teach based on what I've learned. I like to thank everybody for showing up today. I hope the Creator keeps you. Continue to pray for all of us, including myself, that I will continue to be able to bring and deliver this information, and that everybody is uplifted by the information. Self-empowerment. Self-empowerment. You can do this yourself. Don't be a dependent. Okay? God bless. Keep your head up.
Sometimes I buy blow, so I supply bricks. Motherfuckers looking at me sideways, but can they tell that I'm getting money by way? Lot of leather wood and it's deep vibrate. Chatting with a bitch like your boy on my space. But she right here in my face. Take her to a fly place with a fly fireplace. No marshmallows, we let the troll burn. I done seen the world, girl, it's your turn. I told you lies all my life.